Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen! Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Holla.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Well, I guess we're playing the old intro.
Whoa, what the fuck? This is fucking horseshit.
Eric, welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. This is July, June 30th, 2011. What's going on, Eric? Let's start with a tantrum.
No. What the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with this fucking shit, man? Yo, Blog Talk sucked a dick. I fucking had the real intro last week and a week before that. Who the fuck? I didn't fucking change anything.
Wow. Okay, well, I guess we'll start with a tantrum, and we'll go from there. Welcome to the show, everybody, and we have quite a packed show for all of you. Our guest tonight is going to be Matt Tremont, standout in the Tournament of Death this weekend. I attended the Tournament of Death this weekend. I'm definitely going to give everybody a full review of that later on in the show. We have a lot of things to promote. We have a lot of things to shout out. We have quite a show ahead of us. And, we're going to go ahead and kick it off like that. Blog Talk, they fuck you over. They do whatever, it's what they do. So what's going on, Eric?
Nothing. Blog Talk's on a lot of fucking up big time tonight. This is not good. I just looked at the time thing and, yeah, it's only set for 2 hours. I don't know what's up with that shit, but I gotta change that shit right off the bat. It's definitely able to be fixed. It's not.
You
not
got
an issue
that
with
under
that.
Control? You got it under
yeah,
control?
Yeah, that is under control. I don't know why the fuck it says 2 hours. That's fucking stupid. I gotta change that now. We're definitely going to 3 hours tonight. We didn't even go into
absolutely.
Our chat tonight.
Yeah,
we might go to 4 hours. It'll be another night for J-Cat to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock.
Hey, whoa. I got to break off of that, dude. I missed work today after many, many days of being up far too late and I just couldn't answer the bell this morning, man. It was it's fucking terrible. I hate to see that shit.
The referee was counting to 10 and he got to 8. NJ went, no, I'm going back.
Jesus. So, yeah, man. Short intro and all this. Jesus. Here we go. So,
where the fuck are the people in the chat room? I don't understand
Eric's,
this.
Eric's highly disgruntled today. Like, not only I got all sorts of issues, but this,
No, no, no. This is my fucking. I couldn't even fucking. What the fuck is wrong with this stupid fucking thing? If this is a fucking cat, if this was fucking any other fucking show, it'd be fucking perfect.
Yeah, that's my luck. That is my luck, because I am J-Cat Morris, and this is Yakuza Kick Radio. So, as my luck would have it, we have to have a lot of snafus, a lot of hang-ups, a lot of problems. And, anyway, we're just waiting for our guests.
We've been running down the bar. We've been taking care of business. Every day, taking care of business.
Well, this is an unexpected turn of events. Go ahead.
Okay, taking care of...
Fuck. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Yeah.
Business. Every day. You gotta fucking be happy.
We are on the air, right?
Fuck. Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
No. You gotta lighten up. I gotta lighten up the mood, because this fucking Blog Talk Radio, I'm gonna fucking kill him. Kill him all.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm back on fucking top. Yeah, taking
care
of it.
Oh, Jesus. So anyway, like I said, a lot going on in wrestling this week. We got a big show planned for you guys. We're going to go over some of the things in Raw. Unfortunately, I was only able to see the part of Raw that everyone's talking about. So we will get into that later, and we will be, you know, talking about a lot of that stuff. Tournament of Death, I have a very, very full review. I'm very, very happy with the show. More or less just getting ready to, get into everything else. So, what do you got, Eric? Eric? Wow, he just disappears. Just bear with me for a minute. I'm giving someone else directions on how to listen to the show. There we go. So, quite an interesting time for Eric to disappear from this.
I was taking care of business? I'm definitely taking care of business. Give me a second, all right? Give me 1 second.
Yeah. Right, there's all right, one.
All right, I'll be sending you a message in 1 second.
All right, excellent. Welcome to the chat, Juan.
We got a big chat room.
And welcome to the chat, Serena. Yeah, I know. It's only 9:07, and Eric's falling off the fucking face of the earth.
No.
It's okay. Well, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show one of the biggest standouts of this year's Tournament of Death, up-and-coming rising star, deathmatch, soon-to-be superstar, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Chilling, man. What's going on with you?
Just waking up from a nap. Had a long day at work, wanted to make sure I was alive and ready. Appreciate the opportunity. It's the first interview online I've done, so I appreciate it, man.
Phenomenal, man. It's not a problem. You definitely entertained the shit out of me on Tournament of Death, and even last month at Proving Grounds, Prelude to Violence. And it's the least I can do. So figure I'll bring you on, and we'll talk about some of the stuff. Start out, how did you come up and, your training and all of that stuff? Like, how did you get all that rolling?
Nothing too technical. Jersey kid at heart. I live right in the heart of Atlantic City. And been a fan for a long time. Went to CZW shows for a long time. Last September, I made my debut at the DWF in Pennsylvania in a six-man tag match. And the rest is history.
So the first I had actually heard of you was the Carnage Cup. You had gone into the Carnage Cup and you know, faced Danny Havoc first round. How did that whole situation go down for you?
Well, I'll backtrack a week prior. Pretty much the first match that, you know, led to that Carnage Cup opportunity was Atticus's NWA Vintage Pro Show in Franklinville just a week prior when I took on Wax. And that was my first death match, you know. And the right people were there. The right people saw me. No more than 3 days later, got a call and an opportunity to go to Alabama with the guys for Carnage Cup. And, you know, couldn't have asked for a better first-round opponent than Danny Havoc.
Yeah. So then from there, I mean, you more or less, you know, got the look out from that, from Wrestling Wax. I mean, you know, how was it Wrestling Wax?
Wax was fine. It was, I was definitely a little nervous. It was, you know, the biggest match up at that point in my own career, so I was pretty pumped up. Barbed wire gimmick match, you know, a bunch of barbed wire stuff, and, It went good. Like I said, the right people saw it, and, you know, I got the call for Carnage Cup a week later. It was fun. It was hell. You know, Wax, he's hard hitting, and, you know, he's unorthodox, but it was a hell of a time to put on a good match. Wax got the victory, but it was all good.
Cool. Your connection is a little choppy. I don't know if there's anything you could do to fix that, but if not, I could definitely hear you, but,
Okay.
So, you know, going off of that, you know, you went into the Carnage Cup, you actually went in as a member of Cult Fiction. What was your feelings on that?
Cult Fiction. It's definitely helped, you know, get my name out there and more name recognition. I was Billy Graham's mystery guy to face Danny Havoc, because the match started off as Danny Havoc versus Billy Graham.
Right.
For the match, and that's what I did, the run-in, you know, and throughout the contest, you know, I had to prove myself to Billy Graham and authorities and to earn
right.
those Cult Fiction colors, and I think I did, you know, got the t-shirt at the end of the night, the J.C. Bailey blue shirt, so that was pretty cool. Me and Freakshow were inducted into the group, and
right.
The rest is history after that.
Billy Graham's, you know, a good friend of the show and everything. You know, what was your experience working with him? Like, how did that whole thing go down?
Billy Graham, in my book, he's a good dude. He's got a lot of stories to tell you, and if you're all ears, you know, he
sure does.
But you know, nothing to work with Nick, you know, was very influential. In me, that especially that whole trip doing Carnage Cup, and you know, I couldn't have been any happier. You know, I went from nobody real quick to wearing a Cult Fiction t-shirt in the middle of the Deep South, you know, at a deathmatch tournament. So I couldn't have been any happier. Bill Graham's good in my book.
Yeah. Well, it definitely got your name out there, and I'm glad it did. You know, I'd only really heard that, you know, you did really well and all of that stuff, so I mean, it got you to this point, but while you were there, you know, the big talk and the big controversy over that show was the quote-unquote stabbing incident. How did you feel about that?
I think, if, to my recollection, no one knew of that spot was going down, even not even the officiating crew that was refereeing the match didn't even know. None of the guys in the back knew. To me, you know, hey, if you want to stab each other, but I think that's the stuff that hurts deathmatch wrestling and gives it a bad name.
I agree.
There's no need for somebody to stab somebody in the arm. there's just no need for it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was the stupidest idea in the world, and they had actually gone on another radio show. I think it was John Rare had went on another radio show, and he said, well, you know, if Thumbtack Jack did in CZW, everybody'd be calling that the best spot ever. And I'm just thinking, man, that's not even close to the truth. I just...
Yeah, pretty far from it. I mean, it's a shame, because there was some good that came out of the tournament that got overshadowed by that incident.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, to help you make a name for yourself was definitely one of those things. Now, you got your debut last month at Prelude to Violence, CZW. You got to work Pinky Sanchez and, you know, show the Philly crowd, which is not an easy crowd to please, and it didn't seem very difficult for you to make that impact. So, you know, how'd the whole experience go down with you for that, or, and entering CZW?
The combat zone, the dub, you know, whatever you want to call it, was my ECW growing up. You know, when it was on Channel 48, WGTW, I was watching it. You know, when I get home from school at the end of the week, I'd wait for that to come on. Been a lifelong fan of the company, you know, from the early days of Sandig and Engage and Justice Payne and Lobo to the next generation with the Havocs and the Youngers. It was always my main goal, you know, and just the cultivating of a lot of things, impressing the right people, working hard. And when I, you know, when I got that call from the boss a few weeks prior, you know, it's definitely didn't come true. You know, had a little bit of story behind it because, you know, me and Pinky Sanchez were in the finals of Carnage Cup, and, you know, and that's who was my first match in CZW, so it was pretty cool, a little story tied into it. I was definitely nervous. The most thing I was worried about was hopping over that guardrail and not falling. but, you know, popped over, you know, came through the entrance of the arena, popped the guardrail right in the ring. Few people knew who I was, and, you know, that was pretty cool. And then by the end of the match, you know, Bulldozer's a chance. It was, you know, definitely a dream come true. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Absolutely. Well, I was one of those mouths screaming your name, so. and I was glad to do it, man. But, you know, going off of that, you know, sent you into, and as you said, you know, if that was your dream to be in CZW and to, you know, follow the way of the Mondos, the Gages, the, you know, all those top guys, I mean, tournament of depth has to be the WrestleMania of, you know, your expectations. And to be put right in the tournament of depth, first round against the Necro Butcher. Bring us into the, what went on there, man.
Let's just do, they threw me to the back of the wolves real quick. You know, tournament of depth, it's out of all the major ones that are left, it's probably the biggest one out of all of them.
True.
It's definitely, like you said, the WrestleMania Deathmatch Tournament. And, yeah, man, Necro Butcher, first round, a legend in the business. He's been mutilating his body for years for the adulation of the fans. And being in there was definitely surreal. The whole thing for me was surreal. The environment was crazy. You know, just a couple years ago, I was in the crowd watching the chant for these guys, watching them on tape. And, you know, this past Saturday, I'm right across the ring from the Necro Butcher about to, you know, beat the guy back at the ballpark.
You're still kind of choppy again. I mean, if you could get a little bit better on the connection, I don't know how to fix that, honestly. But
gotcha.
You know, but go ahead.
But you know, went up with the Butcher, came out with a black eye. We beat the piss out of each other. You know, water jugs and fists, thumbtack packs, light tubes, whatever we had. You know. We went to the crowd. It was, you know, from start to finish, everything just flowed well, and I think we put on a pretty good match.
Oh, phenomenal. And a lot of people call that the match of the show, and that's, I mean, that's hard to do for starters from the first round,
mm-hmm.
You know, and for, you know, for finishers, being the guy who pulls off the upset against, you know, a guy who is very loved amongst the CZW crowd. That's definitely hard to get the fans to actually back that and call it one of the best matches of the night.
That's news to me, but if so, you know, I'm very appreciative, and you know, that's obviously the goal when I go out there. Gotta have that mentality to steal the show, and you know, go above and beyond the call of duty, and you know, give the company and the fans whatever they want. That definitely what me and Necro did.
Oh, you definitely did. You know. You showed your toughness. You showed a lot of fucking charisma in that ring. You know, you really, and you know, I don't mean to just kiss ass, but you know, I told Eric this because Eric didn't go to the show, and Yeah, I've been telling people this straight up. And the fact is, you know, we lost big, big fucking names. Guys who were mainstays, guys who were, you know, necessary for the company. One being definitely the late J.C. Bailey. And another being Nick Gage. Now, Nick Gage will be back. You know, it's going to be quite some time. But either way, I mean, the company is seriously needing those superstars. And I think, like, within a very short amount of time, I could be completely wrong, and if I am, it's whatever. But, I mean, you really seem like you can fill one of those spaces. And it's not that you can replace these guys, but I think you can be one of those superstars that people are coming to see.
Both of those guys and the fans and Deathmatch Wrestling are
I can't really hear what you're saying right now. You crazy choppy, dude.
Move over here and I'll try.
See if you got a little another space with better connection, but so definitely want to hear what you're saying.
How about now? You hear me a little better?
Yeah, a little better, a little better.
All right, cool. What was I?
Much better, actually.
J.C. Bailey and Gage, like I said, two legends. For me in particular, Nick Gage, you know, besides Seth Fox and,
breaking up again. Yeah, I'm here. You're breaking up a lot, so. You sounded good, and I don't know if you just run into a tunnel or what you're doing, but.
I get no service in my house. I'm in the middle of woods.
Okay. You got another line you can call in, or?
Unfortunately, this is the only one I got.
Okay. Well, yeah. we'll do what we can with it. Good.
Sounds good. Who was I? Yeah, Engage. He was, he had a problem with tribulation, and he's doing me now. I hope he's good, but,
I hate to keep cutting you off, man, but I know no one understands what you're saying, and I just because I'm trying to listen to everything, and I can't hear you, and I know no one else can, but and I'm highly interested in what, you know, you got to say, because again, I mean, the tournament that's showing is fucking phenomenal. And like I said, going over Necro, I think, and I told people, I said, yo, the ballsiest thing DJ could do right now is put fucking Matt over in the whole tournament. And no one would expect it. No one would see it coming. And fucking 6 months from now, they'd call him a genius for doing it. And that was just my outlook on that. I was like, you know, this fucking guy's got it. No one fucking expects, you know, Masato to go out or this guy or that guy. And especially, you know, the Japanese guys, Numazawa and Takeda. I mean, those guys are fucking top notch. And no one expected them to just drop out. So that was just my personal thing. I think that would have been like, you know, real fucking ballsy move out of an owner, you know, to do that. But either way, I mean, going over the Necro Butcher first round, shit, man, that's quite an accomplishment.
It's like pretty surreal, and me going over Necro was just, you know, just, you can tell the company's putting a little bit of stock in me and giving me the ball to run with. Going into the second round against Masada, you know, he's no joke in the ring. It's, you know, it's a serious catch. Me and Masada, second round, we started off with forearm exchange. You know, I never got hit harder in my life. But, you know, that first shot, I'm like, all right, let's do it. I got to give it back to him and earn his respect and try to just put on the best match to me, and that's what did, and it's not even better.
Yeah. One thing that stood out to me, too, and I don't know if you did this shit on – you had to have done this shit on purpose. I don't even know where that even comes from, but you got pounded in the fucking head with thumbtacks first round with the thumbtack bats, and you were wearing a thumbtack hat and shit, and fucking 45 minutes go by with you sitting in the back without pulling a thumbtack out of your head, and you come walking out second round with the same thumbtacks on. I mean, that's right off the bat. That's one of those little things that you notice as a fan, you know?
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, the doctor wanted to take him out, and a couple people were like, you know, leave him in. And I said, you know, I'm like, you know, that's a good idea, leave him in there. I had no problems leaving him in there, you know. So, you know, if you noticed, I appreciate it, you know, cool, man.
Fuck yeah. That shit don't bother you, right? For 45 minutes?
Nah, I mean, I didn't know how many matches were in between the first and second round, and it wasn't that much time. So I was just, you know, as soon as I got in the back, you know, drank some water, got retaped up, put a new shirt on, and, you know, got ready to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the shirt at all. I would have worried about the fucking thumbtacks in my goddamn head.
I didn't pay no mind.
Just move this fucking Lil Wayne shirt off, and I'm good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, yeah, fucking, and another thing, second round, fucking Kenzins. How did that shit feel?
Man, I was there at the arena a few weeks prior when Drake got one in the head.
Yep.
I saw Kobayashi get him last year.
Yeah.
I had no idea Kenzins would be in the match, right, not until right about we went out. It's just, I guess the only problem is Sharp. I think I had three of them in my head.
Two
of them came out pretty not easy, but you know, they came out, and one was in there really good. The doctors had to use a clamp and you know, rip it off my head, and that was definitely an experience I'll never forget. But you know, the Kenzons, as long as the fans are doing it, you know, it's good in my book, and I'll do it again.
Crazy as dude, man. Last month, fucking Drake told me straight up after the show, he said that was the worst pain I ever fucking felt. He's like, and I know you didn't have him, like, pounded straight down like Drake did, but either way, fuck all of that, man. That's some serious shit. And I've seen the pictures, and it was like, it was in lopsided, more or less, and the one end of that shit was buried in your head.
Yeah, but Masada's a bad man, but he can just punch a Kenzon at another man's skull.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a bad motherfucker, man. You know, so, I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, what are, like, some of your dream matches? What are you looking to do, you know, from here?
Goals, aspirations. I mean, just being in the dub is off the checklist. Tournament of Death, obviously, you know, now the goal is to win the whole thing, you know, and try to come home next year with that trophy.
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell on the past too much and look forward to the future. Definitely, I hope to be involved in the Ultravine Underground title scene. I know it's going to be a little preoccupied with Ido and Masada and Danny Havoc in the upcoming future. But I hope I can put my name in a hat at some time and definitely, you know, get a chase for the title. I look at that belt as, you know, you got that belt, you're the best in the genre at that time. So I definitely that's definitely a goal. Dream matches. Number one's obviously Gage. That's going to have to wait a little bit, but that's always
it's going to have to wait.
Number two, probably, off the top of my head, would love to work the Golden Boy Drake Younger and the New World Barbed Wire. That's definitely one of my top ones. I look at Drake, he's like a superstar to me, and he's always one of my favorites. So definitely working Drake in the Barbed Wire would be pretty cool.
That's awesome. I mean, it's really, really impressive, like, when, you know, a guy can just come off, you know, you care enough about your craft, and it's not just like, well, you know, I'll do as much as I need to for the fans, and then, you know, well, just fucking go home. If they really need me to fucking die, I guess I'll die, but, like, it seems like, you know, certain guys, such as yourself, like, you go in pretty much to be like, yo, I'm going this fucking far, and I don't give a shit who likes it or who doesn't. And, you know, I want to fucking wrestle Drake, and it needs to be a no-roll barbed wire. Like, that's pretty fucking impressive.
I mean, my thing is, I'm going to do anything, whatever they ask of me by the company. You know, I'm always going to be a team player. But whatever they need me to do, I'm going to be first off the bat. And also, if it's good for the story, you know, I'm kind of got a little more old school mentality, just not going in there and smashing each other with weapons. You know, it's telling a story, it's building up the spots with the light tubes or barbed wire, whatever it is. And yeah, man, just definitely want to do whatever. Down for whatever Bulldozer is.
Cool, man. What was so far, you know, your most painful thing you've taken? Was it the Kenjins? Has it been the light tubes? Was it, you know, we had Toby Klein on that fucking hates light tubes. So he is a fucking veteran. He's a, you know, one of the best that's done it, and he fucking hates light tubes. Well, you know, what is your thing that?
I mean, out of all the stuff I've done so far, which isn't a lot to compare to a lot of other guys. But it was this past Saturday. The shot that hurt the most was two beer bottle shots from the butcher.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I have a huge bump in the back of my head. Compliments of it. Yeah, definitely the beer bottle. It was that hurt like in the mother effer. Other than that,
stay out of bar fights.
it all hurts.
I'm sure. I'm very sure of it. But yeah, just, you know, it's just cool to hear, because, you know, I mean, there's a million things you guys do that fucking the average man wouldn't even come near, but it's cool to hear what it actually is the top of, you know, what actually fucks you guys up, because you got fucking steelheads. But, what was some of your inspirations? Like, who was the people who inspired you to get into deathmatch wrestling?
I've told the story many times, especially recently with, me coming up. But age of 13, you know, first tape I ever got was the IWA Japan first deathmatch tournament from 95 that Cats Jack won. I got it at some flea market in Berlin or something. And I'm watching that at 13 years old. You get brainwashed. You're like, all right, I'm doing this. And I was hooked since. Terry Funk, Mick Foley, Taz were, you know, kind of mainstream guys. Those were some of my three big influences. And, you know, Kevin Myers,
I'm one of those guys, like, I actually had Alfredo, he's one of the security guys, he's training with CZW, he's looking to, you know, be a wrestler and whatnot, and he's a good friend and everything like that, but one of the first things he actually said to me in person is like, oh, you're JK, you're the guy who shits on all the wrestlers. So, I just tell him a shit as it is, you know what I mean? And so, when somebody impresses me...
You're not that bad. You're not that bad. Everybody says that shit. Everybody.
I know, because I'm harsh on a few people, but
fuck that shit. Fuck that bullshit.
It's whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, when somebody impresses me within two shows, believe me, you got the crowd on your side. Like, you're good, man. I traveled like 2.5 hours. I've been going since actually 2001. I've been going since February 2001 on a regular basis. I've seen more CZW shows than I could count, and you definitely belong. There's no question about it.
I appreciate that, man. I've been waiting a long time, I guess, to, you know, bleed black and yellow, I guess. But I'll wear the colors proudly and represent CZW wherever I go. You know, to me, it's like being in WWE or TNA right now. You know, I feel I'm very proud of myself. I work hard, and I'm just getting started. You know, I just want to get in shape. Get rid of the beer belly and
and
just get better, man.
You got some guys like the Black G's and the, you know, and Sammy Callahan over there that'll definitely, you know, help you with that getting in shape. But either way, man, you're built for this shit. And we're looking forward to seeing a whole lot more of you. And, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing, man. You ain't doing shit wrong right now.
Definitely, man. I appreciate it.
So, Eric, you got any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. And, you know, the promotion that I'm about to talk to him about was a promotion that was actually mentioned on the air like about 2 weeks ago when we had Alfredo on. But I did some research and I seen the match actually that you know, Matt had, and when he wrestled Devin Moore for Beyond.
Beyond Wrestling, I think it's a great thing that got going on. It's definitely, it's got like an underground, you know, cold movement thing going on. Yeah, and they gave me the opportunity. I think it was, this was at May taping. I think it was called Miracle Workers. And, you know, got the call to come up, and they're like, hey, you work in shape. You know, I couldn't have been more ecstatic. Devin's a good dude. And, you know, had the opportunity to wrestle with him. Did like an 8-minute, you know, nothing crazy, you know, old sheets and stuff, but man, it was fun. It was just more exposure and getting out of hits on YouTube and stuff, so that was pretty cool.
Are you going to be a part of their live? I know they have a live show coming up the 23rd. Are you going to be a part of that or what?
As of right now, I will definitely be in the house. I'm not sure what my capacity is right now, but Bulldozer will be at Beyond's first live show in
Awesome. What else you got, Eric?
That's all.
You good?
I mean, he pretty much confirmed that he did start with DWF and said that, and that's one thing that I, you know, was curious about that, because I wasn't sure if I was reading that right, you know, when I was doing the research, because that's Doc Diamond's little thing.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. DWF and Penn Talk, and shout out to Ron Starr. You know, everybody, Philadelphia Wrestling, you know, Ron Starr, and Ron told me a lot. I know. And me and Ron Starr actually did a Friends Bring the Weapons match last month too, and you know, right in Jersey, that was there.
Yeah, I had said, you know, it's crazy that you had to go all the way down south in order to make your name right up the road, and I'm glad you got it done, whatever you had to do it, and like I said, we're looking forward to seeing your work in the future. I'm a fucking regular at CZW, you'll see me month in and month out, and look forward to definitely having you back on the show in the future after you got even more matches we could talk about. So,
definitely,
yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to the future. You know, thanks for the opportunities that have come so far. And, you know, and I'm just, you know, looking forward to whatever's next.
Yeah, it's not a problem, bro. So, you know, we're going to tell you good night. Yo, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for everything you did to entertain me and everybody else in attendance on Saturday. Because, man, you busted your fucking ass, and I appreciate it. So.
Oh, dude, that means a lot, man. I went in with all intentions to get everything I had, to prove myself to the boys in the back and to the fans out there around ringside. And, I appreciate it. Much love. And I hope you just see the stars of Bulldozer for CZW and hopefully other places as well, man. Definitely.
Absolutely, man. So, yeah, man. We'll see you later. Have a good night, dude. And I'll see you. What is it? Next Saturday, CZW.
Yep.
See you then, homie.
All right.
Peace.
All right.
Peace. All right, Eric.
Cool.
I apologize to everybody for, you know, Matt had a bad connection, but either way you look at it, the dude busted his fucking ass at Tournament of Death. He is, in my opinion, the fucking future of deathmatch wrestling. This is a guy, we have lost so many big, big stars in this, you know, in the genre of wrestling that is deathmatches. You know, the Necro Butcher, he's still kind of working death matches, but he also, you know, has made it to a point where he doesn't need to wrestle 200 light tube matches every month. And, you know, we've had the fucking devastating loss of J.C. Bailey. And on top of that, Nick Gage getting locked up for at least, like, 5 years. So we have lost so much in the deathmatch genre. And let's not fucking forget to mention that, you know, Ian Rotten's whole company going out of business and there being no more King of the Deathmatch is a big fucking thing to deathmatch wrestling. So,
yeah,
I got a lot of echo going on over here. I don't know why.
I have no idea why the fuck is doing this.
Okay, so I'm just saying, but that's what it is, man. And there's a whole lot of that type of shit going on, and it's really refreshing. It's really, really refreshing to see a guy like Matt Tremont come out that, yeah, he's not fucking cookie-cutter wrestler. He's not fucking six-pack abs, fucking come out there with a fucking, you know, custom-made tights and all of this bullshit. He fucking comes out there. He busts his fucking ass for his craft. He fucking shows up and he does what he came there to do. And I don't know what he gets paid, but I guarantee you it's not enough. And he is fucking doing his thing to impress the fans, and he's fucking succeeding. On my end, he's fucking succeeding. And again, like I said, I'm not an easy guy to fucking please. You know, I go there to be entertained, and if I'm not, I will fucking tell everybody about it. But this guy goes above and beyond, and believe me, just very, very happy to see him
do
what he's doing.
But, you know, you're talking about, like, Peter.
Yep.
You know, the way you're talking, though, is like, you know, that's what a fan is supposed to, you know what I'm saying? If you're not entertained, you're supposed to be saying, you know, you're supposed to be able to tell people what you feel. This is like a free country, you know what I'm saying? You know, free wrestling country, you know, you can say whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
If you're watching the product, you should be able to say what you want, you know what I mean?
Of course. Speaking of watching the product, I got TNA on my TV on mute, and I'm very happy to see Low Key back on my motherfucking TV. Straight up.
Is he going by Low Key or Senshi?
I don't know what he's calling himself right this minute. Maybe Senshi. I would imagine Senshi. But, I'm glad to see him back on my TV because he's fucking awesome. And whether he's on my TV or whether I've seen him in South River, you know, wrestling Sami Callihan, fucking unbelievable talent, man. I love that shit. You know what? Let's right quick, because we got a little time before any other stuff pops off. let's play that infamous promo from Raw, and then let's chop up that shit real quick and talk about that. All right, Eric?
Okay.
Out here, other than the fact that he don't care what he does right now, I don't think. And I hope he's just leaving, but I'm afraid we're going to hear more from Punk. John Cena speared.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, John. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like most people in the back. I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than I am. And that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else is a Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar. And he split just like I'm splitting, but the biggest difference between me and Brock is I'm going to leave with the WWE Championship. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that if they're just that, they're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the cover of the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the USA Network. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not in the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Conan O'Brien. I'm not on Jimmy Fallon. But the fact of the matter is I should be. And trust me, this isn't sour grapes. But the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just the biggest part of me leaving as anything else. Because you're the ones that are sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones that buy those programs that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 in the morning at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try to sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to go get a real job. I'm leaving with the WWE Championship on July 17th, and hell, who knows, maybe I'll go defend it in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone, you're still going to pour money into this company. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
Truth.
Let me tell you a personal story about Vince McMahon, all right? Can we do this whole bully camp?
And then we lose our yard. And it goes off. Yep. That's all you get. You get a dead mic. He puts out enough body language to get himself cut off on TV.
I'm sorry, Annie. I made a mistake.
Eric, we're done. Cut. Okay. Are we back?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, here's what it is off of there. Fucking CM Punk is the best heel in the business. In the fucking business. Japan. Mexico, anywhere on the planet, CM Punk is the best heel in the business. His promo that he cut right there that everybody just got to hear, I'm sure everybody heard it already. However, it was, I guarantee you, a good amount of shoot and a good amount of work.
It was right near the end of Raw. That's how Raw ended.
Right. I believe there was a lot of work to it for the sake of that it ended Raw. He was supposed to end Raw with a controversial promo. I believe they gave him a lot of rope. They gave him one of those retractable leashes, and they didn't hit the button. You know what I mean? Like, he just kept going. However, there's some shit that was definitely shoot that there's no way in hell that they want him to say on TV. Like, first off, they're trying to go a PG route. There's no way they wanted him to say fucking when Vince dies, the company's going to get better, but it's, well, it should, but his stupid family is going to fuck it up. Like, there's no way that they wanted that to happen. There's no way. Like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, when you're going out of your way to, like, push PG, I can't see where you say that, you know. They had the other part, I know, like, there's no way that they wanted that shit to happen. But, like, Laurinaitis is not a fucking a guy that they bring up on TV. Like, no one knows who that is unless you're, you know, Smart Mark, one of these fucking, you know, over... like investigational, you read fucking far too much into the business, such as myself, and, you know, people like that, like your average kid or whatever, when he goes Laurinaitis, they're gonna go, what does he have, like, what is that, is that when his throat hurts, does he have laurinaitis, like, the guy from school, like, there, people, kids don't know what the fuck that is, so I don't think that was planned either. And then obviously, you know, shouting Ring of Honor out and New Japan, Vince is not down with any other companies being mentioned on his show. If you show up with a Ring of Honor shirt on, they're going to tell you to turn it inside out or get the fuck out of the building. Like, they're not down with that shit. They'll take signs away from you if you try to promote something else. They'll try to, you know, definitely, like, turn you a different way if you're doing something that is against what their company is actually standing for. Like, if you're trying to shout somebody else out on their show, they're definitely not down with that. So
Matt Hardy did it. Remember that? Matt Hardy did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. And then they brought him back, and they made him job repeatedly to the guy who fucked his girlfriend in real life. Like, Matt Hardy was not the winner. So...
How about Punk wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin T-shirt?
I thought that was pretty funny. But either way, the end, you know, where he actually got cut off. Serena, yeah. I've heard the podcast of Cabana's, but I haven't heard it about that. But, yeah, Cabana runs an awesome podcast. It's, what does he call it? Shit. Why did I just lose that in my brain? Colt Cabana runs an awesome podcast. Check that shit out. Search it. You'll definitely find it. Art of Wrestling. The Art of Wrestling. Very, very good podcast, obviously. Colt Cabana is phenomenally talented. Got shouted out on WWE TV, and I don't think Vince liked it. Either way, and then the last thing that Punk said that actually got him cut off was it's fucking... Lane. The other thing that got him cut off, he started to get into, he was going to shoot on the whole bullying campaign, and he was going to tell a story about Vince and the whole bullying campaign. Well, he got cut off, because that's like some heat that the WWE caught, and then next thing you know, well, okay, that's the shoot part of it. Everything I just said right now was the shoot part of it. Now, the next thing that I read was, WWE's Raw is taped next week, and it's 4th of July, so I'd imagine that's why it's taped, but the next thing that goes on is Cena coming out more or less saying he doesn't think it's right. They they say instead of CM Punk having that title shot in Chicago, it's going to be three other people. I think like Alberto Del Rio, I think Rey Mysterio and Cena or something like that. So it's going to do something like that. And then see, these motherfuckers are just like plugging away on their little side Facebook joints. Okay, Lane, Insane Lane does fucking awesome fucking beer reviews. He's drank like every beer on the fucking planet. So check him out, fucking facebook.com/beermarks. And then check Nina out. She makes all sorts of flowers and tutus and all that shit. And that's facebook.com/... Jay, nah, she fucked that up. So when as soon as she posts it right, then I'll plug it. Otherwise, whatever. So anyway, the thing is, so then he said that he doesn't like the way it went, and Vince comes out and Vince goes, no, I actually just didn't want him to leave with our title. So Cena says, nah, fuck that. Well, of course, he didn't say that on TV. It's PG. I'm just giving my translation of it. You know, I'm hearing it, and then I spit it out a whole different way. That's just how I do things. So then he says, no. We're not going to have it like that. I want to fight him. So then Vince, at the end of the show, says, well, you got your match against CM Punk. But if he leaves Chicago with our world title, you're fired. So... that right there shows it that it's a work. And, yeah, it's MJK Charms Designs on Facebook. For crying out loud, she says. And that's really not a... yeah. And Juan keeps telling me to plug my fucking party. Like, I'm having a fucking 4th of July party. I don't think the fucking world is going to start just driving to my house. But, yeah, I'm having a 4th of July party. Hit me up if you want the fucking info. Otherwise... I mean,
maybe he
settle
wants,
down,
maybe
Juan.
Maybe he wants all the girls to come to the
party. I'm sure he does. I'm
yet.
Sure Juan wants every chick on the fucking planet to show up in my yard, but that never happens to me. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Settle down. what? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So, that's what it is. People keep talking shit.
I saw the Lane thing.
Lane just needs a plane ticket. Well, I provide those for everybody coming to my barbecues on that's part of my salary. I just provide plane tickets to fucking people. And yeah, that's awesome. You can't fucking drive? Oh. Completely unnecessary. But yeah, we would love the Insane Lane in the building fucking reviewing my shitty beer. Yeah. I just go pretty much Miller Lite and a whole bunch of different liquor, and I love him going, this is shit. You should try such and such. It has more hops than this. I'm like, Lane, leave me alone. I could take a shot. Take a walk. It's okay. I love me some Lane, man. He's a good dude. But, yeah, man, we got a lot of shit to get into. I definitely, we have some people that are going to be calling in tonight as well. And, to help promote Acid Fest, which is happening on, I believe, July 10th, right?
Yeah.
Right. You're not fucking fighting my ducks, Juan, okay? Just because it's a cage doesn't mean you get to fight in it, okay? Okay. But Acid Fest
is going to be fucking awesome, man. I can't wait for Acid Fest.
Big shit. And obviously, it's fucking necessary. I mean,
damn
the man's
right,
family
yes, yes.
needs some serious support. And, all jokes aside, I mean, it's some serious stuff, man. This show was named after Trent. I had been, fan / friend of him for well over, I'd say almost, right about 10 years, close. And, phenomenal dude, man. Outside of the ring, one of the fucking best people you would ever talk to. He made you feel like a best friend and you were only a fan. You know what I mean? Like, that was the type of shit I had for almost 10 years with Trent. And he is severely, severely missed. And, you know, no one expects to lose their kid at that age. And when you do, believe me, financially, I can't say believe me because I know, because I would hope to never know, but financially, that shit isn't easy. You know, you can run one show, and I've seen a lot of people hating and, oh, well, you know, why do they need another show? Like, seriously? I mean, I why not? Like, you lose your kid, and that's something you can't replace. You can't just say, okay, well, they ran a tribute show for me. And, I got what did they end up last year, Eric?
7,000. This is fucking
okay,
phenomenal.
Okay, $7,000. $7,000. Phenomenal.
Yeah, like that.
Definitely great, great fucking contributions. Excellent turnout and everything else. $7,000, great. Does that pay for every fucking thing? No. Does that actually, you know, do anything to, I mean, seriously, you're talking about somebody who lost a child, you know, and that $7,000 might have helped pay for something, but that's definitely not the full expenses. And bottom line is, yo, listen, why would you question something? Like, when you knew that this guy went out there for all these years and impressed the shit out of you and worked his ass off, no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, this dude went fucking above and beyond. He worked his shit to the fucking, the fullest. You got your motherfucking money's worth when you showed up. So now when this dude is gone, why all of a sudden, you know, would people think that that's a wrong thing to help and, you know, support the guy? It's not. It's not whatsoever. So fuck all that hate shit. Everybody go out there and check Acid Fest out. July 10th, fucking Asylum Arena, I think that's what they're calling it this week.
Got like 5,000 different names.
ECW, CCW, New Alhambra, Asylum Arena. Go, I don't give a fuck what you call it. Show the fuck up July 10th and fucking help support
and bring,
my homie,
bring
man.
50 people with you. Bring like 20 people with you. Bring 100
yeah,
people.
Just,
you know,
just throw mad motherfuckers in the car and just tell them, yo, this is what it is. Show them a couple videos of him, and as soon as they're like, yeah, oh, wow, that guy's really good. Be like, yeah, he's gone. Let's go. Let's fucking go. You know? That's the deal, because Trent was something special. Trent was something that you can't recreate, and it's definitely worth fucking, you know, completely supporting. I mean, there's no other way to say it, but support this cause. I mean, it's, you know, obviously, you know, the way that Trent went wasn't a way that, you know, you would like to hear that somebody you know went, but it's life, man. And when you lose somebody, bottom line is you lost them. It has nothing to do with how you judge the way they went or anything like that. The dude was unbelievably talented, a phenomenal person to talk to. He was nice to every fucking buddy he met, and there's really no one. Not much more to say. Yeah, it's $10. Fucking $10 to support this guy, man. And, yeah, he gave so much. So, by all means, support Acid Fest July 10th. Show up. And that's what that is, man. So. All right.
Give me 1 second.
I know right now, it is with great pleasure that I announce that we have the Notorious 187 Homicide on the line. What's going on, dog?
What's going on, homie?
Chilling, man.
Yeah,
good
I'm
to have you
I'm
back.
Driving to Philadelphia, man. Just chilling. I'm hearing your radio station, man. It's good to be back, man. But what's good with you, man? How you been?
Same old, same shit, man. Figure we'd bring you on, you know, help, you know, promote Acid Fest, and maybe you could give us some stories about Trent, man. I know you spent a lot of time with the homie.
Yeah, man. I'm just like I'm telling a lot of guys that knew Trent, man. It does feel like a dream. You know, I feel sometimes that he's alive. Fuck, man. Sometimes I'm not gonna lie to you, man. When I be home and smoking my 420, I feel like he's the next Elvis or Tupac. You know how people they're all, oh, Elvis still alive. I feel like Trent's still alive. He's just chilling at New Zealand or Bahamas, smoking some herbs or whatever. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And I realized that he's really gone, you know, and this man is so special for everybody. You know, I battle him everywhere, United States, Germany, Japan, everywhere. Not only that we was the best enemies, but we also the best friends. He's special, man. He's one of the most realest people that I ever met in my life. I never cry, man. I'm like Scarface. I never see a man cry, but when I heard that Trent Acid passed away, man, I cried like a little punk, because that's how special this man is, and that's how a good friendship he had with myself and other people in the world. And it's just sad. It's still sad, man. I can't believe it's going to be one more, another year that we're going to do another Acid Fest Part 2, and I'm not here to say it's going to be better than Part 1. I'm all about supporting, remember his legacy, remember his just basically everything, you know, and everybody comes together with peace and just support the man, because he deserved everything. And I'm the
Absolutely.
Type of guy that don't believe the pearly gates, but man, if he is in the pearly gates, he's definitely chilling with Eddie Guerrero, Tupac, and Biggie, and he's doing good. He's in a better place right now. And we always, no matter what, always, we always gonna remember his name and support his legacy, because he deserves it, man. This is the type of guy that should have been in the WWE TV or TNA or whatever organization that's involved with national TV. He deserved to be on TV. And, you know, life cut
Absolutely.
Too short. He wasn't. You know what I'm saying? But this man deserved everything. And I'm sick and tired of these bitch-ass motherfuckers, excuse my language, out there talking
it's
about we donating to a crackhead or whatever. You
Fuck
know,
that.
I wish I knew these motherfuckers, because I hope they get hit by a car and I hope they get AIDS and die already. You know what I'm saying? Because
yep.
this man... I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. It was rough. Right now I'm in Philadelphia. This is the new Iraq, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I see a lot of crackheads out there stealing, you know, doing stupid stuff. Yes, Trent has demons on him. Yes, he did a couple of stuff that we don't like. But the one thing that I noticed, he never stole from nobody. You know, these people with pill poppers, anything. He never stole from nobody that I know of. But in my heart, I know he didn't stole from nobody. He gave everybody the same love. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I'm trying these bitch-ass motherfuckers out there play-hating, saying that, oh, we doing a fundraiser to a drug addict. Motherfucker, you know what I'm mad? How about you say that shit in my face? I'm part of Acid Fest. You know, we got the boys out there, and I got an excuse for the family, for the friends, the brothers, sisters out there. But it's like, I'm tired of this, you know what I mean? We're trying to, like, embrace everyone to show love to this man, you know what I'm saying? And you got these play-hitting son of a bitches who wants to be on TV or need that media attention. Well, you want motherfucking media? I'm not saying come July 10th, but I'm saying come July 11th, come to Philly, come to Brooklyn. Ask for homicide, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired of this, man. I got to apologize. A lot of frustration on me right now that I've been through a lot of stuff this week, man, with some family issues, and one of my homies, you know, passing away, and I'm hearing a lot of negative stuff, and I don't like it at all, so I just got to let these cats know. And shut the fuck up, bro, for real. And,
I hear you, Todd, man. I'm with
and
you,
be
fucking.
Positive, man, on some real man, on some positive side, man. Like I said, man, this guy got mad love. I love him, man. No homo stuff. I love all. I love every. No, I love you. You know what I'm saying? I love everybody. You know what I mean? But if you on a pissy kind of thing, man, go fuck yourself. For real, man. Like, that's the way I feel with everybody with some negative thoughts.
I feel you, man. You know, people that shitting on the dead, man, ain't got no credit, man. There's no credit in doing that because they're gone. They can't speak for themselves. So, I mean, you looking like a bitch doing that, and it's not even worth even mentioning, dog. Don't even worry about them because they ain't man enough to talk to anybody alive. So.
Yeah. That's some punk shit, man. I don't get it, man. That's why I feel that it's all the media thing. They need to be on the radio. They need to be on some kind of a broadcast system, talk crap. But when that person see that other person, I never meet it. I just need exposure for myself, man. That's not cool, man. That's not really not cool at all.
Nah,
you know
nah.
what I'm saying? Like right now, I'm taking time off. I cracked a rib. You know what I'm saying? My sister just passed away a couple of days ago. But I'm still going to show up at Asda Fest. I'm still going to support the boys, the girls, the family. It doesn't matter. I don't give a goddamn if that person hate me. If you hate me, yo, 12 o'clock when it hits, do whatever you want to do with me. But when it comes to July 10th, it's like a church. Come with peace. You know, come with love and everything. But when it hits 12, yo, I'm like a gremlin. Hit 12 o'clock. Some water.
Absolutely.
Demon,
don't feed them after midnight. Don't feed them after midnight.
Exactly. Don't feed me, son. Don't feed me.
Don't feed them liquor. I know the deal. I heard about you.
Well, but like I said, man, for the positive issue, I got my bad being like this, man. I just got a lot of frustration on my, but on a positive level, man, just come to the Asterfest, too. This is for everybody who's hearing it, listeners. You're going to have a
Absolutely.
Great card. You got a couple of people that, everybody with a positive energy, they're going to come to the show. If your ass
Absolutely.
Is negative, get your ass, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Go to Wall Street and deal with some hookers or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't need no negative people coming to the Asterfest. It's all positive people who want to have a great time and remember of a legacy in the man himself that is called Trent Acid, a.k.a. Michael Verde.
Absolutely. Yo, dude, while we got you online, it's all about Asterfest, but I definitely want to, you know, hit you up on a couple other topics while we got you on here, if possible. Yo, first of all, man, yo, I got to ask you about the match because I ain't get to see it because the motherfuckers decided to open the show and, like, I'm, you know, I'm white, but, you know, I'm, you know, I'm from the hood, so next thing you know, fucking, I show up late to everything and, fucking, they opened the show with fucking Homicide and Key versus fucking Liger and fucking Tiger Mask, dog.
Yeah, I heard
How did that match go? Because I don't know.
Yeah, dog, that surprised me too, man. When me and Loki was talking, the promoter came to us. They're like, yo, we got to open the show with y'all and Liger and Tiger Mask. And we was like, oh, word? Okay. It was kind of surprising, man, but it was good, man. I'm just kind of saying you didn't make it, man. I know you did your little thing traveling. I wish you could make it, man, but it'll be the next time.
This is my reason for going. I fucking show up and the dude at the door is like, hey, buddy, it's only one match in. And I'm like, great. And I'm like, oh, wow, Kojima's second match? I was like, what the fuck? And next thing you know, fucking, they're like, our last match of the evening, and they hit fucking Rhino's music. And I turn around, I'm like, yo, what the fuck was the first match? Oh, the low-key match. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me, dude. What?
Yeah, man.
I was mad as shit. But it went
it
well,
was
though?
Crazy. Yeah, man, it went very, very, very well, man. It's like, man, I became a little kid, man, because I grew up watching Liger. Of course, I faced some singles competition, but it was something special. It was not only my partner, but my best friend and the person I trained. And we just, you know, straight out took it to Liger and Tiger Mask and beat them. It was very phenomenal. It was a good resume for my book, man. I just wish you and your fam could have came in, man, because I know you're going to have a great time. I hate saying this, but, you know, DVD is around the corner, you know, but I'll steal one for you. Don't worry, homie. I got you.
So, speaking of, you know, your boy and shit, I just seen him on TNA back tonight. So, when I get to see Side back on my TV, when you heal up or what?
But yeah, I definitely want to heal up, man. Right now I'm mad banged up. I got a crap rip
from
my match against Rhino, man. Everybody thinks I'm faking, but I've been hurt since a year already. Matter of fact, I did a TNA house show in Coney Island, Brooklyn, New York, on July 2nd, and I got hurt July 2nd. And the funny part is, 2 months I got healed. But, you know, Rhino threw me to a guardrail and just cracked my rib. And it was one of those, like, man, I really got to take over, man. I take time off, you know. And maybe if I do take time off, I'm going to be much better, you know.
Of course,
coming back, you know. So that's what I'm going to do as right now. I'm just going to take time off. But I think it was just bullshit. But that's the rest of life, man. You never know what's up, what could happen.
Yeah, I know, man. You're definitely fucking well due for a rest because you've said in the recent past that like this is your final stretch. Like you got like one last burst in you, do some shit, and why not rest up and do it fucking 100?
Yeah, exactly. You just said it right there, man. And when I say I'm gonna go out with a big bang, I'm definitely going out with a big bang, you know. You know, I'm not saying I'm gonna retire in September, October. All I'm saying, I got a bunch of guys on the list that I love to work. You know, I got the whole cool blacked out. I got people like Sammy Cunningham, but I want to rematch with him because the last time I wrestled him, it wasn't good. Why? Because I was hurt. Now
I thought it was damn good, motherfucker.
Yeah, man. I mean, this motherfucker trying to like headbutt me. I'm like, all right, motherfucker, now it's real. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but he's a good cat,
a bad motherfucker, man.
Yeah, that dude got a bright future, man. And like, that's what I want. I want to work with people got bright future. Same thing with Moxley. And look what happened. He left. He's in the WWE. And I'm one of those guys who's responsible, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope
Absolutely.
He does great. You know what I'm saying? But when he comes back, man, I'm going to chop his tongue off. Like I was saying, Rich Swann, another guy.
Like you were saying, right?
USA. Yeah, I wrestled him, but like I say, I was hurt. So basically, I want to wrestle
Swann
all these
in Japan
guys
right
when
now.
I'm saying, yeah, man, he, that's another cat that got a bright future, man. Like himself, Sammy Cunningham, you got Aaron Fox. You know, you got all these guys, man.
Yeah.
They got a bright future, and I do want to work with these guys, but I need to get healed up, you know what
you
I
do,
mean?
Man.
And I am.
You definitely
I am, man.
Do.
I got that Wolverine power, man. I got the Logan shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that motherfucking adamantium and shit in you. That's cool, man, but don't, you know what I mean? Stop fucking overestimating yourself. Take your motherfucking ass, chill out, drink, Blaze, do what you gotta do, and fucking we really want to see you 100%. And I know you fight that urge every time, and you jump right back in there every time.
Yeah, it's that love for the game, man. I got mad love. Like
you
two things I love. Well, three things I love really. It's wrestling, baseball, and money. And you know I can't do baseball no more. I had a scholarship from Miami University. And, you know, I was just making fast money, and I say, fuck education. That's what I tell all these kids, man. You'll finish school. Don't be like me, man. I dropped out of high school, selling drugs for 10 G's a week, and it wasn't good, man. I got locked up. That was not pretty. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you taking your character real life? Nah, bro, that's the way I am in real life. If you don't like it, then, you know, kiss my Puerto Rican ass. I don't tell you, you know. So, you know, I've been telling kids, man, you finish school. Wrestling, it's hard, man. You got to deal with politics. You got to deal with a lot of stuff, man. But I would tell kids, man, just finish school, man. That's the first thing that you should finish. Finish school, man. And don't be like me, man. Like, I mean, I'm doing good in my life. I'm not saying I'm a bum-ass dude that was working, you know, some crappy job or whatever. But, you know, like I'm injured right now and I got no health insurance and all my money is going to these bastards from the government, you know. So if I went to college and played for the major leagues or whatever, it'd be a different story right now. But, you know, I was thinking the youth, I was thinking green a lot, and I wasn't thinking that. Look, it hit me in the ass real hard, you know. But I'm happy, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing good. I traveled to Japan, Germany. I went over the world. I could not say this Brooklyn cat never made it. I didn't make it, and I'm happy.
Jumped off a balcony in that motherfucker.
Yeah, I jumped a balcony thinking, like, all right, New Jack, I could do it, man. Never, ever. Never in my motherfucking life.
Them tables don't big like that, man.
Seriously, man. New Jack is an OG, man. I told them, I ain't fucking with your ass. Fuck that. And that was 35, man, 30 feet, I'm not gonna do it, man, next time. I was stupid because the promoter came up to me from Big Japan. He was like, if you do it, you'll be the third person in history in this building. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I'm gonna
That's
do
a
it,
reason.
Man.
That's a reason. Only three motherfuckers.
Yeah, I looked down. I was like, what the hell I was thinking? And I did it, man. And the next time I did it again, but this time with Juke Kasai. And Juke Kasai dove off, and they call him Crazy Monkey for no apparent reason, man. That motherfucker is crazy. You know what I mean? He likes pain. He likes all that.
Best wrestler that ever lived.
Yeah, man. That's the one thing. I love to do a poll. You know what I mean? Like, who is the best deaf wrestler? I mean, one of them, it is Joe Kasai. But you got to give to people like White Beater, you know, like people
like
Nickel Butcher.
I don't give him a lot of
credit,
but Joe Kasai leaps that shit.
Yeah, he is, man. He got issues.
what would be your vote on that poll?
You know something? It's like a tie, man. Because
you got Onita. You got a lot of motherfuckers out there.
Yeah, man. Juke Kasai is part of my top three list. But I like that old school Nickel Butcher, man. The first time I seen him, this dude, he want to kill himself. He doesn't want it for the pop, for the money, but he just want to kill himself. There, you know, I met him. One of the nicest, intelligent men that I ever. That's the scary part. When you do stuff like that and you're very intelligent, oh man, that really scares me, man. So I think it'll be a tie between Kasai and Nickel Butcher.
Yeah, well, I feel you, man. Necro, man, he put his work in for no question. He ain't even done. I mean, he wrestled Tournament of Death on Saturday, and, you know, he only went first round, but dude is still, he's still putting work in, but,
Yeah, as right now, I feel that he's a legend in the death matches, you know what I'm
without
saying?
Without question.
Like, He did it so many years, but I'm like, man, this dude is a legend right now. Like, even though he lost first round, who gives a fuck, man? This dude is still the best way he does.
He helped pass the torch to a guy that was on earlier in the show, Matt Tremont, and the dude, he's the truth, man.
Yeah, and there's a lot of bunch of guys out there, like I was saying, like people like White Beater, you know, you talking about new cats right now that's coming to the game and doing the death matches right now. I got to give a lot of props to these death matches. I don't consider myself a death match wrestler because I like the old school, hardcore, Terry Funk kind of way. But these cats like Toby Klein, Cobo Robinson, all these death match guys, man, yo, I gotta give them props, man. Because
yo,
they do, hell no, I can't
I got Insane Lane in the chat room, and he was telling me that was, you know, he had retired, but he said Homicide was always one of the guys he wanted to work and never got the chance to and shit.
So, man. We can still go, man. I mean, hopefully he didn't retire because of injuries or personal problems, man. But you never know, man. You got that one time. You got that tank is still filling. And you never know. You know, like, I love to work with people I never wrestle, man, because I always have classic matches with people I never worked.
Yeah.
I never work them, and I know I'll be going to have a classic, you know.
Now, I actually got to work only briefly. Like, I can't even touch the tip of what the fuck you've done training and working. Honestly, you're a legend in the business. I mean, whether you like to feel that or not, I mean, bottom line is, I mean, you train people who are substantial in the fucking business. The indies are another genre of what the business is. Yeah, you get your TV companies, but as far as the indies go, if Homicide isn't one of the best motherfuckers that's been in the past 10 years, a decade of being one of the best motherfuckers out is definitely a legend, in my opinion.
Thank you, man.
You had trained with Manny Fernandez. I got the opportunity, like I said, twice to train with Manny Fernandez, and it was phenomenal. Like,
yes.
I'm not a wrestler. I fucking never be a wrestler, but I trained with, like, a bullshit fucking trainer, and more or less, like, you started working, you were taking 30 bumps on the first day. Like, they didn't even work you out. And then they randomly brought in other people. Fucking 2 weeks later, you were training other people who just started training. And it was like, what the fuck? And luckily, like, he booked Manny Fernandez for one of his bullshit shows for 30 people. And he brought Manny in, and fucking half of the students bailed. They were like, I'm fucking out, man. This guy's tough.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, I'm fucking so excited, dude. I was like, this is fucking awesome. And he told me a lot of shit. He was like, yo, if you're going to take a bump, take a fucking bump and make it mean it and fucking do that, because you're going to hurt yourself one way or another. Do this shit right. Fucking hit hard if you're going to hit. You know what I mean? Do what the fuck you're going to do. Like, it was just a blessing for me to do that. And it, of course, it didn't turn out to nothing, but it taught me a lot about wrestling.
Yeah.
I was just really thankful for that. But, like, what was your whole experience? I mean, you fully trained with Manny Fernandez.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time because I trained by myself. I started in 1993, and I was with this company, but it's not really a company. It's a little BS indie promotion called Arena Puerto Rico, and this guy named Pedro Rodriguez, who was like a jobber in Puerto Rico for Pascalon Promotion. Basically, I just trained by myself. In 3-4 years, I met Manny Fernandez in New Jersey. He liked my style because I was a little guy that actually hit hard, and I was a big mark for the Texas guys, the West Texas crew, like Fernandez, Terry Farm, Boozer Bloody, you know, Tito Santana. All those guys that came from that college, I was a big mark for all those guys. So he was just kind of like, oh, man, you know your history. So basically, he just trained me running the ropes, taking bumps, be a tough son of a bitch, man. Like a lot of people say, man, this little guy, he's a tough son of a bitch. It's because Manny Fernandez, he's the one who trained me to be a better wrestler, and I gotta thank him for that. Not only did he train me, but he gave me a lot of knowledge of the business, and also a lot of knowledge to become a teacher. And it's very surprising. I trained 22 students. And like about a good half already made TV, you know. One of my best students, of course, is Loki. He's a hard working man. He's serious about this. That
As he's up on there on fucking TNA now too.
Yeah, man. So it's just a bunch of guys that I trained. Becky Bayless, who's not very athletic, but you know, she's banging and she's a good with the mic. You know, so I'm kind of happy about that. She got a lot of knowledge. You know, the same thing with Valentina, who's from the West Coast. She's doing her thing. Then we got other guys who still work in the independent level, like Steve Mack, the Dirty Ryan Scoundrels, Papa Dunn. You know, we got all these guys who also bright future, the same people that I mentioned, like Sammy Cunningham, you know, Rich Horn, all those guys, Moxley. The same thing with my students, you know. Sometimes, like myself, the only thing I don't like about my students, like they look at me and they say, hey, I'm a side. He parties, you know, because I am a party guy, because I like to have fun. I like to be happy. So sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I like to do my little drinks, my little 420.
Not a problem.
My students, they get comfortable with me, and sometimes they slack off. That's the only thing I don't like about my students. But other than that, half of my students, they're all hardworking guys. They go out there and they bust their butts to make it. And I already got like 4 or 5 people who already did the national TV. Like one of them is, and nobody doesn't know this, but we used to call him Ricky Atlas. And right now they call him Ezekiel Jackson or whatever his first
Ezekiel
name is.
Ezekiel Jackson. Absolutely.
He's like
that was
Tommy
one of your students,
Johnson,
right?
2011. That's one of my students. A lot of people don't know that. But, yeah, he just won the IC belt. Bam. Come on, man. Can't get better than that. And I'm so happy for him. I didn't spoke to him for like 5 years, but I'm so happy for him. He made it. You know what I mean?
Another thing you're working on right now, and I've seen, you know, out there, I kind of got, you know, mixed feelings about the whole federation. But, you know, what's your feelings on the UWF that you're working on right now?
It's different. It's not wrestling that everybody thinks. A lot of people, a lot of fans, I'm not trying to be disrespectful for the fans, but damn, wake the fuck up. It's not wrestling. Everybody thinks it's traditional wrestling. To me, it's like, it's almost like old school ECW of 96 meets like Boys in the Hood. Matter of fact, perfect, I give a perfect example. It's like Death Jam Vendetta, like the video game. It's just like
like Death Jam Vendetta, really?
You got this cat who's coming out with shanks, even though I came out
like
with
like a mediocre video game is what you're telling me?
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. And you got, they pushed the envelope, man. I got a couple of guys who came after me and Slick went about bucking shots, a real gun, you know what I mean? So it's different. It's not like wrestling. It's not like Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE. It's not even like CZW, because CZW got their own style. UWF got their own style, too. Yes, it is hip-hop. You know, it's basically hip-hop
in the world with
wrestling.
That.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very different. A lot of people don't understand the concept of this promotion, but it's very different. Eventually, I'm happy because I like to be part of history. UWF is making history. It's different, and that's what we need. We need a lot of different companies in the wrestling business, because to me, the wrestling business is not doing so well because it's very political. So you got all these different brands like Dragon, Evolve, Ring of Honor, TNA, WWE. Now you got UWF, CZW. You know, if you go international, you got New Japan, Big Japan, WXW from Germany, you know, 1PW from the UK. So we need different brands everywhere. And I think UWF is going to do good. The next show is October. We're going to Miami. We might be doing
laid-back
music. Yeah, so it should be good. It just, people got to get
used to it. So what's Uncle Murder like?
He's mad cool, man. Like, yo, that's the one thing. Like, there's a lot. I did not meet no rap. You know when you like basically you say to yourself, man, that guy's a dickhead. Yo, all these rappers, Billy Blue, Uncle Murk's mad cool, man. Not only is mad cool, but he let me come out to his hit single called Warning. That's a triple for Biggie, and I think that was really cool, man. He's like, you heard me, man. And that's when he called me, you heard me, like, you're going to come out to my single. And I'm like, oh, word? All right, you know. And we had some divas.
Don't bring up Papoose, man.
Yo, man.
don't bring up Papoose, man. It catch feelings.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of cats out there. You know, we got Red Cafe. Melly Mel, man, is one of the coolest cats in the legend from the hip-hop industry. But he's mad cool.
You got Melly Mel out there, too?
Yeah, we got Billy Blue from 305. He was going to be down with Rick Ross, Maybach Music, Briscoe.
Nice.
We got a lot of cool rappers, man, who's also the future of the hip-hop business. But I'll be telling fans, this is different. Do not picture this as a traditional wrestling. This is something different. You're going to see a lot of people smoking blunts. You're going to see a lot of people with baby mama drama. Everything what you see in the hood, You're going to see that on TV. You know, you like watching Boys in the Hood, Kingdom New York, Juice. Well, UWF, we got that. And we got all these hip-hop guys, you know, trying to form and trying to make a business. Now, first, a lot of people say, oh, Uncle Murder, he's going to do something in the ring. No, he's not. To me, he's like I would not say coach or chief, but it's like almost a survivor series back in the days. And Uncle Murder's the team captain. You know what I'm saying? And I'm his hitman of his team. So basically, he just pop off. He raps, get in his corner with his bitches, and I do my job. I wrestle Eddie Kingston. You know, I put the cop kill on him, and now he's looking for me. So other than that, yo, you done that? It's going to be a good thing,
like
man.
Uncle Murder, man. I've always liked Uncle Murder from fucking Bullet. To fucking all the other shit, fucking shooting at a cop car on that party like a rock star beat, you know what I mean? Like that, all the whole shit, man. Like, he does some serious shit over there. So I definitely, you know, I support that shit. It's cool that, you know, rappers and shit like that is actually getting into wrestling, because, you know, you hear references during rap shit and you're like, man, I wish they fucking seen what I seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, the indie shit. So it's cool to see that.
Yeah, man, and like I say, these rappers, they're mad cool, man. It's not like, man, this guy's a dick, man. He's looking up for himself, trying to take money from our pocket. Nah, man. Y'all, the beginning, I feel that they thought we were just a bunch of big guys with speedos and a lot of baby oil. I know they thought of that. Then they see people like myself, people like Ghetto Mafia, Ruckus, and they're like, yo, this is different. Then when they saw what we was doing, they became fans. And all of them were like, yo, we did not knew it was like this. I like this. I'm like, well, you know, welcome to our world. That's what we do. You know, everything is not the same. And we told them, they saw it, and now they're a fan of the wrestling game. And that's the cool part, that now they're helping us. You know what I'm saying? So that's real cool with these cats, especially Uncle Murder, like I said, man. This cat, I'm a big fan of his work, and I was really surprised that with him. And I was like, yo, I like this, you know, this is tight. And I came out to his single, it's called Warning, and it's a tribute for Biggie. And I'm a big Biggie mark, you know. So
oh, yeah,
it was really cool, man. It's just like...
Murder does his thing, man.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, this is different to the fans. Just give it a chance, man. Just give it a chance. It's not the typical traditional wrestling or other promotion brand that you see. It's very different.
Yeah, definitely. Fucking Eric, yo, you got any questions aside? Where you at?
I pretty much wanted to ask that EWF question, but you know, you already asked
it's
that,
all good. It's all good. Yeah, definitely big up Acid Fest. We're all about that shit. Fucking wish you all the success in the future. Take the motherfucking ass to bed. Do some motherfucking drinking and fucking smoking and chilling. Do some gym work. Do whatever the fuck you got to keep your shit right. But take a break, dog. Like, other than Acid Fest, seriously, man, take a break because we want to see 100% homicide, dog.
I definitely will, man. I'm just kind of disappointed I can't compete in Acid Fest, but I will be there, you know what I'm saying? And I just want every fan who's listening, y'all just come out and support this man.
Nah, I'll have some 420 to pass you, and then we'll go from there. But
no doubt, man, no doubt.
Before we let you off, can you throw us a quick promo and shit for the show?
Yeah, no doubt, man. What do you want to say? The Yakuza Radio?
Yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio, man.
Yo, this is Notorious 187, Homicide, the Latin Frank White of the indie scene. And you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. Watch it, listen, and learn from the best.
Thank you, man. Much love, and you know, hope to have you back on the future, and definitely see you at Acid Fest and everything else.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, definitely we'll have a good time, man. We definitely have a good time.
Absolutely, man. No question.
No doubt, man. But good luck in your work, man.
Definitely, man. Thank you for coming on, and you know, we'll see you next time, homie.
All right, homie. Take care.
All right, peace. Yeah, so that was the one and only Homicide. You know, I know we got Juan marking out in the fucking chat room and everything else, but that is definitely, you know, one of my top fucking favorite wrestlers that fucking came on the show, gave us a great amount of fucking talk, and did what he did. And, you know, he's phenomenal, man.
Yep.
You know, what can I say? So now I'm back in the fucking back in the house. I was out for just a minute. I might go back out in just a second. I'll just figure out what's gonna go on next. But it's now 10:38. Look at that. Oh, what is walking to the ring? Oh, they got the Chavo lookalike that's walking out the ring. Well, Chavo was fired recently. If they match Chavo up with the guy that's walking out to the ring right now. Not Hernandez, but the other guy. It will make all the same. A rapid shark. And possibly, we might have shark on Monday. We might have shark. Huh. Okay. I'm just saying, like, I mean, I'm just reading shit out of the chat room, and, like, you know, like, post shit that I don't know, and I live in the same house, so it's crazy. Like, we might have shark on 4th of July. As well as fucking Mop Burgers which is the shit. That's, you know, mushrooms, onions, and peppers, but it's like a special blend of the meat. Like, you motherfuckers have no idea, but the burger is off the hook. So, you know what I mean? And crazy drinks, because I'm a fucking alcoholic, and, but chicken, fucking crazy marinated shrimp, possibly shark. That's new shit. Yeah, mop burger, motherfucker. Speak English. I just fucking told you, mop burger. Fucking mushrooms, onions, peppers, and it's a special blend of fucking spicy sausage with ground beef, and the shit comes out banging. You will never eat a fucking burger again without fucking complaining after you eat my shit. So, yeah. Do I not speak fucking English, Juan? What do you mean mop burger with a question mark? Where is that? So, yeah, that's what it is. The drinks are going to be fucking crazy. Everything else, but, yeah, like I said, I don't know why I'm promoting my party, because Juan just shouts it out, because he's going to come from fucking Jackson to Lacey and shit. Now he thinks I need to fucking shout out to the fucking heavens, so I might as well. You're welcome, Juan. Well, at this time, I'd like to welcome to the show one of the people who are actually, you know, helping to promote and put on Acid Fest, and that is Missy Sampson. What's going on, Missy?
Hey, Jay. I kind of screwed myself, though.
Huh?
Because I screwed myself, because originally I had the 10 o'clock call-in spot, and I gave it to Homicide just to make sure he'd call in, and I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that conversation up.
You what?
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow up Homicide. Everything he just said.
It's
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow
it.
That up.
This is a notorious 187. What can you do? But either way.
I was like, fuck, I'm not even going to call in now. And then I was like, wait, I told Jay I'd call in. I have to call in.
We need you, Missy. So what's going on, Miss?
You know, same old, same old.
Yeah. So, you know, we bring you on to, you know, help promote the Acid Fest, but as well, we would really like to get some, you know, some Trent Acid stories out of you, because, I mean, you knew the man for quite some time, and
yep, over 15
it's always
years.
Good to hear stories of him.
Well, it's so funny. I was talking to Andy Social the other day, or last week when I was supposed to call him last week,
right.
And I said, he's going to want stories. And anytime anybody specifically asks us for Trent Acid stories, there are so many of them, but they're so hard to think of, because you have
right.
to filter stuff. Like, there's tons of stories I could tell you that aren't fit for, you know, repeating in public. I'm like,
well,
man, I'm like, I can tell a story.
Like, you don't...
No, it's just stories
you
don't... it's just stories that you don't tell other people.
Okay. I hear you.
And
I was like,
man, everybody always asks me for funny stories, and I could never, like... Tomorrow, like, while I'm at my desk working, like, I'll come up and be like, man, I should have told that story. When I get put on the
spot,
I
never
think of, like...
You had all this fucking time with Homicide online. Don't start, you know what I mean?
I know.
Don't start with the politician.
I know. But, you know, I could probably tell you the stories that are appropriate to retell that stick out in my head aren't, like, funny Trent Acid stories, but they're,
just
like...
memorable.
Yeah, but, they describe, like, the man that he was. Like,
yeah.
This is a guy who music was really important to him, along with wrestling. Who the day that my dad died, you know, when I called and told him that my dad was dead, he was at band practice, literally dropped everything and took 3 buses back to our apartment just to make it there to me. And then literally would not leave my side for 24 hours.
That's awesome, dude.
Like, I had to go to my family. I had to go to my, you know, the rest of my family's house. And he insisted he was coming with me. Like, wouldn't leave me alone. And this is a guy who... December 2009, I ended up having to have heart surgery. And Trent is not a morning person. Trent was not very, you know, a morning person. So,
yeah.
But he, you know, the morning of my heart surgery, he, you know, he got up extra early, went to the hospital with me. He was the last person I saw, you know, before I got wheeled back for surgery. He was the goofball in pre-op that pointed out the old guy's balls in the bed across from me. Because when you go on for surgery like that, they make you take everything off. They give you a gown and, like, one of those hats that, like, covers your hair.
Yeah.
And the way my bed was lined up was it was lined up. There was, like, I guess, like, a little kitchen in the middle of, like, the room type thing. And the doorways didn't have doors on them. so I could look straight through to the other side of the room where people were in beds for pre-op, and directly across from me was this old guy. And I wasn't even paying attention. Well, Trent looks over and he starts laughing, and he's standing at the foot of my bed. And he goes, I'm going to step to the left, and you need to look directly across. And I'm like, okay. And, yeah, and here I look directly across, and there's this old guy, like, with his legs open, no underwear on, old sweaty balls hanging out, and Vody's, like, hysterical. So, you know, stuff like that. Like, and when I woke up from surgery, he was the first person I saw when I woke up. Like, that's the guy that was my best friend. Like, that's the guy I remember. You know, like,
yeah.
you were saying earlier, everybody, you know, is shitting on why you doing a benefit show for that guy, you know.
Yeah,
nobody is perfect, and everybody has their faults. You know, Trent's demons weren't even a tenth of the man that he was. They're just the that got blown up in headlines on fucking mark-ass wrestling websites that you read.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, the guy... I mean, his work fucking definitely went far above and beyond anything that he did wrong in his life, because he put so much of that shit aside no matter what was going on in his life, and he came out and he was a fucking great guy to the fans. He fucking worked 5-star fucking matches, like, you know, his stuff with Homicide, his stuff with Ruckus, his stuff with, you know, so many other people that, I mean, just stuff you can't replace, you know, and then there's really nothing more to say, like, but, I mean, the guy is a legend in the fucking independent circuit, period.
And he was great to his friends. You know, Trent was the guy that if he knew you needed it and he had it, you didn't even have to ask him. He would just give it to you, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Like, I know a friend of his who was getting ready, this was a couple years ago, but a friend of his was getting ready to be kicked out of his apartment because he couldn't pay his rent. And the day that the landlord was going to go serve the guy with an eviction, Trent took it upon himself to take the back rent to the landlord in cash out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, he was just a great guy, man. He's so missed. He's so, so missed. And I'm only a fan / friend. Like, I'm a friend through being a fan. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
In 2000, I met him. He turned me on to CZW. He turned me on to all that. I've been going ever since. And every single month, I wouldn't have to say a fucking word. He'd pull me out of fucking crowd. Yo, Jay, what the fuck, dude? Fucking, like, he was just fucking, he was one of those guys. He made you feel welcome within the community. He made you feel like you were part of the family. It didn't matter if you were a fan or whatever the case was. I mean, he was just a top-notch guy, man.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of us said it last year. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that would describe themselves as, I was an acquaintance of Trent Assert, or I was an acquaintance of Mike Verdi, because he had that uncanny ability in literally within 5 minutes of meeting you, of making you feel like you were his friend.
Absolutely. And,
that's,
you know,
that's the guy he was.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen him down his bad stretch, and I gotta be honest, like one of the last times I seen him, I think it was the last time I seen him, was the CZW show, and I seen him in bad shape, and, you know, I hung out with him and everything, you know, we exchanged the normal fucking, you know, talking and hugs and everything else, and I bawled my eyes out on the way home. I said, yo, my boy's gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
And I felt fucking terrible, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know him that close to stop it from happening, but at the same time, I feel like he's in a bad place. I don't know.
And here's what I can say to you about that, because, you know, the other thing that a lot of people like to talk shit about is, oh, well, why didn't his friends do anything for him? And, you know, they just let him do the, you know, whatever.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy.
Those people that get to say those things don't know what the fuck was done for him. They don't.
Right.
Because... If for one second anybody thinks that, you know, his close friends just stood by and did nothing, you're fucking mistaken.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, you know, but the kid got out of jail and I moved him into my apartment in the suburbs, you know, to get him away from all the fucking shit he knew in the city.
Yeah.
You know, I took him to rehab in October of 2009. He was in rehab for 28 days. I took him to rehab. Like, you know, his other friends used to come and pick him up and take him to meetings and, you know, do this. So those people that sit there and act like his friends did nothing, like, you don't know. You don't know what was done for him.
No, no, it's not just not my, it's not,
you know,
my
and,
line of thinking whatsoever.
Well, no, no, no,
I
know it's
I genuinely
not, I know
it's, cared about. And
no, I know it's
not
your line. I'm not trying to say,
oh.
Jay, I'm not trying to say it's your line of thinking, but it's, like, shit that I've read.
No, I
or,
hear
like,
you, I hear you.
Shit
there's,
that other people have
so
written that people have pointed out to me. And, like, you don't fucking know. You weren't there. You can Monday morning quarterback it now because he's gone. But the fact is you don't know what was done for him. And I can tell you his close friends did not stand by and do nothing. You know, there's only so much you can do when the problem's not yours.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. I mean, it's fucking ridiculously difficult. And I know, like, you know, people with these type of issues, like, there's no one who could change it but themselves. And when
exactly.
you see it, no matter how close you are to it, it's fucking inevitable. And I seriously, you can ask my girl. I cried my fucking eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan that only met him and fucking talked to him before and after shows and shit like that. And I said, dude, we're gonna lose him. He's gonna be gone. And I was at work one day and fucking she called, fucking tears in her eyes and said, fucking Trent's gone.
Yeah.
And I fucking knew it was coming, but fuck, I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it because he's a fucking legend. As far as the indie wrestling scene goes, this guy should have been on TV. This guy should have been fucking a million times better or bigger than what he was in the spectrum of, you know, wrestling fans. I mean, but his work was fucking phenomenal. And it's terrible that it wasn't, you know, it didn't reach the levels that it should have, because he put out better work than fucking 60-70% of fucking people on TV. Easy.
Uh-huh.
Easy. So, but either way, people need to come out and fucking support Acid Fest on July 10th. And,
it's $10. Like, where can you go see if you're a wrestling fan? Where can you go see a quality wrestling show for $10?
Right, absolutely. Can you run us down some of, you know, what's lined up on the card?
I'll do you one better because I was supposed to announce another match today on the website and I haven't had a chance to log in.
Okay.
So I'll actually give you all the matches that are announced and a match that hasn't been put up yet. The matches already announced are the Trent Acid Future Stars match. And the reason behind this match is, you know, one of the things that Trent prided himself on was taking younger guys that he saw potential and talent in and trying to work with them and trying to elevate them or put them in a better light so other people could see the talent in them that he saw.
Yeah.
So in sticking with that personality trait of Trent's, it's Adam Cole versus Ryan McBride.
Great talents.
They're both phenomenal. I've seen both of them work on numerous occasions. They're both, I mean, those two guys are going to be somewhere someday.
The CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion. Absolutely.
Adam Cole, yes.
Yeah.
Another match on the card is my match is myself, Annie Social, and Amy Lee as Acid Angels.
Acid Angels.
Against what I named the Island of Misfit Toys. Which will be Dirty Dom.
Like, I told a few people and they laughed their ass off before they heard the names.
because literally it ended up being just a mosh of guys. Like, just guys that, like, got thrown together to be our opponents. And I was like, oh, we should, and it literally just popped into my head, so that's what I called them. And it's Don Montoya, Eric C. Jones, who was a student of Trent's, who, if you ever hear stories where people refer to Eek, that's what we call him. His nickname's Eek. And Double Shot Ian Knox, one half of the Irish drinking team, with Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
Three-weight cruiserweight match, John McChesney, the fabulous John McChesney, versus J.C. Wessler versus Azriel, or as, you know, he was called on TNA last week, Frederico Palacios.
Yeah.
Which I just thought sounded really cool.
whatever. Whatever works.
I was like, what? I was like, all right, that just sounds cool. Now I want to change his name on the show.
They got Key, they got Azrael, they got Shima Zion, they got all sorts of shit right now. This is all good.
I just announced a four-team tag team scramble match, which Trent was obviously proficient at. That'll see VD, Eddie Valentine, and John Dahmer versus the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels versus Blackout, which will be represented by Ruckus and Robbie Marino.
Robbie Marino. Yep.
Versus Eddie Kingston and Steve Monster Mac. Anybody who thinks that teaming of Kingston Monster Mac is a little, I don't know, should probably know that originally Monster Mac was gonna team with Homicide before Homicide got hurt.
Okay.
So Kingston is stepping into Homicide's place there.
Okay. Understandable.
The SATs will take on All Money Is Legal. And it's funny, that match actually came about. We booked the SATs, and actually had fans contact me and ask me if All Money Is Legal was going to be on the show. They wanted to see All Money Is Legal, so we booked All Money Is Legal because the fans wanted to see it.
Nice.
Those are the matches that are announced. The match that will be announced as soon as they get off here and I can log into the website and update it will be another three-way between Flash Wheeler, Sabian, and Deranged.
Okay. It's good to see Deranged back in the ring.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Which leaves us two more matches to announce, hoping to have them all announced by Sunday.
Nice, nice.
Leaves us one more match to announce, and then the main event will be announced.
The main event is still open?
It's not open. It's booked. It just hasn't been announced yet.
Okay. Now, I noticed one thing that's pretty substantial, and I have mixed feelings about the whole thing, you know, talking to the guy for mad years, but is Johnny Cashmere involved in this at all?
No.
Hold on,
since you called me out on that, because for me just to say no, it sounds like there's an issue there.
If you can give me a reason, that'd be phenomenal, but
I'm going to give you the reason, because I want to explain it so that it doesn't sound like there's some, you know, I don't want people to start speculating that there's some big issue here. There's not. You know, last year was really hard on Johnny. You know, as it was on a lot of people. And, you know, he took it upon himself to plan the first Acid Fest. And I can tell you, being there last year and being there this year, it's not easy to do.
No,
you know, the show doesn't put itself together.
I didn't even want to show up as a fan, let alone someone who knew him personally.
You know, the show doesn't put itself together. So it was really hard on Johnny last year.
Sure.
Johnny has a lot going on in his own life right now. He's trying to open his own bakery.
Okay.
So it would have been more, I know that sounds funny, but this year just would have been difficult for Johnny. There was a point in time where he was going to work on the card, and then he said he just didn't think he could do it. You know, people mourn in different ways and people remember people in their own ways. So, you know, nobody should certainly judge him or fault him. We don't. And nobody else should either.
I hear you. I mean, that's cool and shit. I don't know. Personally, I think he would have to fucking, like, if he's ever going to wrestle, this would be the time. Or even just make an appearance. But, you know, hey, man.
Here's what I will say. We're not counting anything out at this point.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I don't really hold it against him or anything like that. Like, Johnny's my dude. I mean, he was actually my first guest on this show, and you know, with Trent side by side, they both turned me on to CCW. It wasn't just Trent. It was fucking Johnny talked a lot of shit, and, you know, and we talked so much during the early goings of me being an indie wrestling fan that they both launched my indie wrestling love. And really, you know, and now at 33 years old, I'm still incredibly hooked, and I can't give anybody credit other than fucking Birdie and Casimir, for real. Because those are the two people that definitely put me onto this shit. And their efforts put me onto it. So.
Yeah, so that's the story. I mean, I've had one other person ask me about it, and, you know, my biggest fear is I don't want anybody to think that there's some hidden, you know, issue there, because there's not. And people make fun of the bullshit in the business.
Devin's going to be on the show too, right?
Tonight?
No, tonight? No.
Oh, wait, on Acid Fest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Devin's definitely on Acid Fest.
Awesome. Because I know he had some, like, disparaging remarks about Casimir and everything else, but either way, like, I know his heart is in it, and he's definitely going to represent Return. So.
Exactly. You know, and the one thing, you know, like Homicide said, everybody on the tent just needs to check their shit at the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and
yeah,
we have no doubt that everybody's going to do that.
Yeah, that's expected. Eric, you got any questions for Missy?
Is Eric
there? No, just, you know, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I just had it on mute because I have an echo.
I understand. Right.
No, but I'm just, you know, everybody better be out there. I'll be out there, you know, for Acid Fest.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Right. That's it, Eric?
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody can check out acidfest.com.
With an S. Why is it
with an
S?
Multiple.
Can you tell me why is it with an S?
Because acidfest.com was taken.
Yeah. Really? By who?
Yeah. I actually think it's by some, like, music something.
What the fuck? Seriously?
But I can answer that definitively.
Like, yeah, it seems like there's many of them. Like, it's on the tour. Which would be fine with me, but I'm just saying, like, it just comes off like there's shitloads of them. Like, Acid Fest.
Well, I actually bought the domain name, so I can answer that honestly. That's why. It was because Acid Fest was taken, so I just threw an F on the end.
Cool. I mean, I ain't hating. I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are like, oh, look, they misspelled this shit. Like, I'm like, nah, that's fucking crazy. Like, what?
No, not to mention, you know, it kind of fit when you think that it is plural, and this is the second one, which then makes it multiple.
Well, maybe. There's not really, like, results on the last year on the website, but I'm sure you'll work on it.
There sure is.
There is? Oh, shit. Oh, I'm fucking
if you up. Click the history link.
Oh, I'm fucking up. What can I do?
It takes,
you know,
and I know those results because I hand-typed them.
I
had to
sure
watch the
did.
Battle Royal and write
them.
You've
got all the grounds covered.
Yeah,
the girl's
there's definitely
got
results.
Yeah. She's got it. You know, what can I say?
I knew what I was doing.
but, yeah. Missy, anything else you want to promote, put out there, you know, tell the fans whatever you want to tell?
You know, right now I'm just promoting Acid Fest. You know, that's what's on the front burner for me. That's what's getting, you know, all of my time and attention right now, as far as wrestling is concerned. I mean, it is the most important thing to me, you know, right now.
Sure is.
So, that's all I'm plugging and promoting up until and through next Sunday.
Okay, definitely. Thank you so much for coming on. Look forward to meeting you. In person, and
yes, definitely make sure you guys find me at some point next Sunday.
I sure will, and
I'll be the one that looks nuts with, you know.
Huh?
I'll be the one that looks nuts. I'll be the one running around with my like a chicken with my head cut off.
I know what you look like.
that was only slightly creepy the way you said it.
Huh?
I said that was only slightly creepy the way you said it.
Oh,
really?
Jesus,
I know what
Christ.
You look
really?
Like.
You got people on fucking Facebook. Like, I'm not supposed to know what you look like. Jesus Christ. Fucking stalking anybody is crazy. Anyway. Yeah, definitely, you know, big up to you for everything you're doing with Acid Fest and
It's a labor of love. I don't need to thank you.
So now that I'm creepy, you know, I'll
No, you're not creepy. I just said it sounded slightly creepy the way you said it. You're far from creepy.
Well, I hope so, because it's really not my agenda at all.
Yeah,
but,
no, it actually takes a lot to creep me out.
Good, good. But I managed to break the fucking seal a little bit. It's fucking weird. It's fucking crazy. It's never been my MO, but I don't know. But anyway.
I've instantly made you the creepy guy.
Right?
That's your gimmick
nowhere.
Now.
I've never got that.
That's your gimmick now. I just gave you your own gimmick. You're instantly the creepy guy.
Thanks. I fucking do not embrace that. But all right then. Thank you so much for coming on, Missy. And
thanks for having me. And thanks for all the plugging about the fest that you guys have been doing. We really appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We're gonna keep plugging it until it happens. And next week we'll hopefully have some more people on. I think fucking Robbie will probably come on or whatever else. And we'll keep plugging it. We'll keep getting it going. And we'll get everybody we can off of our. You know, our listenership or whatever you want to call it. But
if you hit me up later and tell me, you know, kind of who you'd like, I can try and hook it up. I don't know what everyone's plans are for next week.
Would you hit me up? Fucking tell me who you got.
Tell me who you want. I got your homicide.
I know. That's
so you tell me
who
you want.
We had him. That's pretty nice. So we'll talk later, Missy. All right. All right.
You guys have a good night. And bye, Nina.
Thank you so much for coming on. And we'll
thanks
talk to you
me.
Later. You have a good night.
You
and,
too.
All right.
Bye, Jay. Dude. Bye, Eric.
Bye.
Eric.
Yo.
What's up? That is the lovely Missy Sampson we just talked to. She is heavily involved in putting on Acid Fest, which is the most fucking important thing that you can do this summer as far as supporting a wrestling show and supporting something that actually means something. You know,
this show's going to be it's going to be an emotional, you know, for me.
Overall, when you support
there?
Something like that, I'm here.
Okay.
When you support something like that is something that means a shitload to wrestling. It means a shitload to everybody who. What is going on there? See all this crazy shit online. Did we cut off on the fucking live feed or what?
Nah. We're
still good.
Nah. Yeah, why?
No, I'm just wondering.
There's always been a delay, like when you call in and you're listening, and then when it actually comes on, like when it comes on the computer, it's like a 2 second delay. So basically, you'll hear yourself, like if you call in and you listen right away, you hear yourself. That's what Missy's talking about.
Yeah. Because motherfuckers are calling me creepy and shit, and then they're telling me there's a delay and da 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 da. Yeah, I mean, like, I fucking. Well, dude, you're going to be in my house in a fucking week. Dude, you're going to have problems. You know what I mean?
Like, huge problems. Like, you know, and let's be real with each other.
You're talking different shit. I'm just saying, like, come on. Come on, man.
Juan doesn't know how to handle all the shit that's going to happen. Come on, man. Juan don't know how to handle
on,
that.
Man. You know what I mean? I don't need
yo, come on. Come on, man.
Anyway, this is fucking Yakuza Kick Radio, motherfucker. Anyway,
yeah,
I got to talk about, obviously, I got to give my... okay.
What is one
I gotta thank Missy.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Yeah, she, Apparently things creepy is hot sometimes, so now I'm creepy and hot. So that's not to be hated. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So, all right then. And then from there, listen, we got fucking, seriously, Tournament of Death. I can't not go over this fucking show. This is, Saturday fucking I went to Tournament of Death. And we had the fucking, one of the stands out in this company on the fucking show tonight. Okay, let me go over this show. The show started off with Masada defeating Dysfunction in a Fans Bring the Weapons match. Well, Dysfunction is one hard-working motherfucker. Like, he is, like, the best first-round jobber you will ever fucking book. Like, if anyone is looking to book a guy who will get his fucking head caved in the first round and fucking whatever he's getting paid and fucking go home, that is fucking Dysfunction. I believe he's deserving of going much further. However, he seems to be like first round jobber as far as CZW goes in the Tournament of Death. And then they just don't book him for the rest of the year. And then they fucking ring his phone when it comes to Tournament of Death. Like, yeah, we need you to get the shit kicked out of you on the fucking, what are you doing on the 12th? You know, it seems like that's what they do with Dysfunction. But he's a phenomenal guy. Corey almost, you know what I mean? And, well, you know, I'll just leave it like that. And, so, but, that's what that was. And, after that, they came out with fucking the Bulldozer Matt Tremont beating the legendary Necro Butcher. Now, this guy started the fucking match. He fucking came out there, set the fucking chairs up in the ring, and started calling the Necro Butcher out to do the whole punch spot, the bar spot. You know what I mean? The bar fight spot, whatever you want to call it. Unfucking believable. I mean, these guys kicked the shit out of each other. He took everything fucking Necro had to give him. He fucking gave it back, everything like that. I hate to do this, but they had to fucking mention it as, and I gotta criticize this, man. The stipulations this year were fucking shit. Complete shit. Like, to fucking label a match, well, first off, online they labeled it as a get-hit match. Well, live, they actually upgraded that to a get-hit-with-shit match. Well, that sounds like a monkey in the fucking zoo. That sounds like you're going and hanging out inside of the monkey house at my work. And that's a get-hit-with-shit match. That's pretty much what's going to happen. You know, get-hit-with-shit match. That doesn't really sound like a fucking great idea. Like, it doesn't make you want to go there. So anyway, they beat the fucking shit out of each other. Stipulation aside, they beat the shit out of each other. Necro did the whole chair spot where he threw like a million chairs at the dude and deprived many people of their seats. And fucking the water jug bats, the fucking thumbtack bats, as I previously mentioned, when he crowned him all over his head with the thumbtack bats, you know, he rocked that shit to the second round. So, dude is badass. Dude is fucking badass. So, I mean, there's nothing more to say about that. I mean, the dude is, Missy wants to play with the monkeys at my work, so that's cool. it happens. I work at a fucking shelter slash zoo, so it's cute. Anyway, next match was BJW's Jackie Numazawa, which is one scary-looking motherfucker. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, him and June Kasai side by side, which were a tag team, the Black Angel and the Crazy Monkey, fucking one of the fucking sickest looking fucking tag teams you'll ever meet. And when you see this guy in the flesh, man, he's a crazy looking motherfucker. He beat Danny Havoc in the Light 2 match. They had Nui Toi, what the, how do you say his fucking name, dude? Eric?
I'm thinking how to say it. I can't even think of I try to think.
Nui Toi Faria.
Nui Togafu. Toriagafu? I don't know.
That works.
Nui. I knew what he calls him called. Nui. It's fucking Gulak's bitch. How about that?
Yeah, now he's Gulak's bitch. That's whatever. But, yeah, so he, quote-unquote, screwed him out of the match where, like, you know, the whole shit went down and he threw him through some shit. And Jackie Numazawa went over in the match. Which, really...
By the way, sorry to cut you off. By any chance, did Jackie give you a smile? Did he smile at all?
No, he's got a menacing look. He's got a very menacing...
Yeah, I mean, if he smiles...
Hey, Missy, he's got a creepy look. Hey, Missy, he's got a creepy look. That's creepy. J-Cat,
yeah, he has, like,
not
three
so
teeth.
Creepy. You know what I mean?
Jackie has, like, three teeth.
Yeah, a little more creepy than J-Cat. J-Cat's kind of cute, but no, fucking Jackie, fucking creepy. But anyway.
Yeah, what about Juan? What about Juan?
Not what I'm going for. Juan's a douche. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like, he's coming to my fucking party on fucking Monday, and he's fucking lucky. I'm going to feed him fucking phenomenal food, not with my hand, but I'm saying, like, I'm going to offer him so much fucking good food, and he's going to have his mind blown. We're gonna, you know, do a couple fucking Yakuza promos. He's gonna love life on Monday. Monday is gonna be a good fucking day for Juan. Anyway, you know, either way, Jackie Numazawa is fucking awesome. A lot of people say that, like, he's not as good. He shouldn't go that far. I think he's fucking very good. So he went over Danny, and a lot of people talk shit, but I don't think the angle is good, but I think the fucking execution of the angle is just fine. Like, you know, they say, like, oh, fucking, why this? No, well, you know, he came in the locker room and said something about Drew Gulak being a bitch or something like that, or I still got my title or whatever the fuck. So, yeah, dude that was supposed to be his enforcer fucked Danny Havoc out of the tournament. So that makes sense. And in the end, it makes more sense, which I'll get to in a minute. Next thing was Scotty Vortex versus
Takeda.
Yeah. And my one big fucking criticism right off the door is it was supposed to be Thumbtack Kick Pads and Taipei Deathmatch. Well, there was no Taipei whatsoever. There was no glass on the fist. And that's not my favorite stipulation, so it's not like I give a shit about that. But only Scotty had thumbtacks on his kick pads, which to me is a terrible, terrible fucking move. If Scotty went over, wouldn't have been a terrible move. The fact that Scotty lost with more weapons than the other guy is a terrible move. Because he goes back to Japan, and Scotty stays here as a fucking mainstay in CZW, and it looks fucking terrible that even with thumbtack kick pads, he couldn't beat that other guy that we're not going to see for a very long time, or maybe ever in CZW. So, it's fucking weird. It's really fucking weird. And then they added fucking barbed wire boards, which should fucking honestly stop adding barbed wire boards. I don't remember people ever marking for a barbed wire board spot, and if they did, believe me, it was propped up between two chairs or somewhere, but definitely not in the corner. Barbed wire boards in the corner do not fucking get over with the fans, and they block fucking, if you have one in each corner, like in the diagonal corners, like you have two barbed wire boards set up in diagonal corners, they block probably 40% of the fucking fans' view until you decide to break them. So, fucking terrible idea. Stop fucking doing that. You advertise it as a fucking thumbtack kick pad, fucking Taipei death match, and there was no Taipei, and there was only one set of fucking thumbtack kick pads, and then we got big ass boards blocking our view. Why? For fucking your enjoyment. That's all. You know? No other reason. Like, for your fucking enjoyment, you sat in the back and you're like, look at that motherfucker that wants to look at the match. He's beat. Oh, fuck that guy. Like, that's all I could say about it. Like, there was really no reason for anything else. You know what I mean? Let's see. So... Eric is, I guess Phil's on a call. Anyway, next match was the second round. I mean, you had Takeda definitely taking the win, which made sense, but made Scotty look like shit. And, because, like, when you had stipulations that, don't help the other guy, like, weird. Missy keeps wanting to play with the animals in my work. I don't have baby ones at my work. I don't have baby animals. Like, I know it sounds fucking adorable that you can just, like, fucking... it's just like Missy play with the baby ones. You know, we're just waiting for people to want to play with baby animals. Oh, Jesus. Who will play with the baby animals? Because we surely don't want to. No, that's actually not what we do. But, hey, it's cool. I work inside with the adoptable cats. I'm a cat guy. It's hard to figure out, but either way. Next round, semifinals. Masada beat Matt Tremont. And Kenshin's whips and anything else. Here's the other fucking stipulation shit. I gotta get into. Fucking Larry Legend announces, hey, it's pretty funny. And everything else. And whatever fuckery we can find in the back. Okay, now, I'm gonna take a pause right quick and go into what actually, like, I'm fucking one of two things that I'm actually pissed off about on this. Well, three things. The names of the stipulations, the whole stipulation thing, and another thing. When you announce whatever fuckery we can find in the back, and I fucking spent 20 fucking minutes building a goddamn light tube blob cabin with fucking Alicia, with Corey standing there looking like a retard, fucking... Seriously? They didn't use the fucking log cabin? There wasn't a log cabin used in that fucking tournament. I had a fucking log cabin that was fucking 2.5-3 foot high, and fucking they didn't use that shit in the tournament. That's some more bullshit. When you put out there, yeah, it is bullshit. When you put out there whatever fuckery we can find in the back, that sounds really unorganized. I'm just gonna put that out there. So, what I'm saying there is that's bullshit. So, anyway. They announced...
So basically, it took 20 minutes to build, and they didn't even get used. That's fucking
They didn't
bullshit.
Even fucking use it. They didn't even fucking use it, man. I constructed a fucking bundle as well that sat in the ring for fucking two matches. The log cabin never made it anywhere near the ring, but the bumble I made fucking sat in the ring for fucking two matches and never fucking got used. So it's all good, man. It does happen. It does happen. It's not like I fucking hate severely, but I will talk about it. So anyway, Masada beat Matt Tremont in a Kenshin's whips and anything else we can fucking find in the back match. That's how they tell you. That's how they tell you as a fan. Like, this is what we're doing. Whatever the fuck we can find. I don't know how they couldn't find a fucking 3 foot fucking light tube log cabin. I think that's fucking phenomenal that they couldn't find that. Maybe they should find a pair of fucking glasses and then fucking they would have had some serious shit.
Yeah.
So.
You're right.
So that's the deal there. Anyway, they had that whole match. Match was fucking crazy, and it definitely suspended disbelief. Where like I was like, yo, how fucking long can Matt go? Like I honestly said from the start, the ballsiest move that they could do is put Matt over in this fucking tournament, because if they put him past Necro already, they put him past Masada, and then they put him past possibly Takeda in the fucking finals or some shit like that. Like, yo, man, yo, fucking, they would be fucking, people would be fucking surprised, and then 6 months later, they'd be like, that motherfucker is the truth. That motherfucker is the truth. And, yeah, I mean, like, that's just what I'm saying about that. Like, they should have done that, but either way, like, Masada's awesome. He went over, fucking stuck all sorts of shit in the dude's head, which I'll probably be sticking fucking skewers in my head on fucking 4th of July, just be retarded, and whatever. The next match, they put Takeda up against Numazawa, and a lot of people, again, shit on this, and I couldn't believe how dead the fucking crowd was when this match was going on, but you guys in fucking Delaware got a big Japan fucking death match in Delaware. Like,
and
you know what
fucking,
I mean? Like,
and they have to
how
have
often
fucking
can you fucking get that? You had Masashi Takeda and Jackie Numazawa in a barbed wire boards, light tubes, and thumbtacks match, and they fucking kicked the shit out of each other. And I can't fucking see where people were like, oh, fucking, that match wasn't that good. And the crowd was dead. I was sitting there just like in awe, just watching the match, trying to take some pictures, which I took like 600-something pictures or whatever. And, fucking Missy's over there. Fucking. Oh, man. Missy's over there trying to look at the fucking website of my job. And, trying to figure out what animals she wants to play with. Like, I could just make that shit happen. Like, I just opened the cage. She's a good person. Just let her in there. Like, it's not going to happen, so. But, that's cute. I like that. That's fucking phenomenal. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I thought that match was fucking good. You had the two guys beat the shit out of each other. They were from the same fucking place. These guys put on a phenomenal fucking semi-final type match. And fucking, yeah, Takeda came out on top, which had needed to happen, honestly, because he's far better. But finals. Masada versus fucking Masashi Takeda. Oh, wait a minute. I'm skipping ahead. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus.
Oh man.
Yeah. Sami Callihan, Greg Excellent, DJ segment. Oh Jesus. Terrible. I don't understand why fucking DJ actually thinks that like he needs to fucking book himself that high in the card. I don't understand why DJ thinks he needs to be an owner and a personality, because it's not fucking necessary and it's not working. On top of fucking not necessary, it's not working. So they had, and it was funny, like the start of it was funny, but it's all going to come back around to prove my point when I'm done talking about this show. Which, again, I thought the show was awesome, so don't mistake my negative criticism towards certain points of it for that I didn't like the show. I love this fucking show. Tournament of Death is like fucking Christmas to me. So DJ comes out there with his fucking Rivera jacket that he never deserved to have, and you know, fucking talks and talks and talks and talks and talks and fucking talks and fucking, you know, it felt like fucking a half hour to 40 minutes. I don't know how long it went, but it was felt like that. Anyway, it was cute. Fucking Sammy and fucking Greg both had fucking DJ's gear on. They both took like their gear off and had fucking DJ's gear under it. And they made like a big joke out of him, and they talked a bunch of shit. And da 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 da. And it was cool. No, Missy. It was like that. And then fucking DJ talked for like fucking 3.5 hours, and then the watermelon became involved, and blah blah blah. It's ridiculous. Fucking bottom line is, well, they were supposed to fight DJ in a three-way, and it would have probably been like a, you know, just like a handicap match where they're going to have to heel turn or some shit. But, so it got left as that. Dave's like, well, you guys got to fight each other in order to fight me next fucking whenever, and fucking, yeah. So, fucking, yeah, they did a whole, like, crazy work shit. Greg laid down, Sammy pinned him. Now he's like, fucking all right, well, I didn't get finished saying what I was going to say, so now, Greg, as of next month, you're going to be my bitch because you lost that match, and that was a stipulation, and on top of that, fucking Sammy, you got to fight Necro before you fight me, so you got to fight Necro next month. Which is fine, because I'd fucking far rather see Sammy versus Necro than I would ever see DJ versus fucking anything. So, that's fine. That's completely fine. But as far as, like, the storyline of fucking DJ and fucking... Oh, Jesus Christ. good night, Missy. She's leaving, so good night, Missy. Either way, so DJ, you know, does that whole thing, and now Greg's going to be his bitch next month, and we have to deal with another fucking half-hour promo with this fucking fat douchebag for fucking no reason, and no one fucking cares, and I don't care what you say or do to fucking Greg Excellent, but no one cares. So, that's what it is. Let's move on to something else. I'm just saying goodnight right quick. So that's what it is. No one cares, DJ. Stop it. Then we got Philly's Most Wanted versus Devin and a mystery partner. Now, Devin had teased all sorts of, I know people from the past. I know Scorpio. I know this guy. I know that guy. It's fucking great. You know, we got all sorts of shit I got in my fucking back pocket. Ah, they pull out little Mondo. Well, don't think that's fucking credible. I don't think that's up to par with what the fuck you've hyped up. I think that's pretty terrible, being he lost the fucking chance of being Tournament of Death to fucking DJ last month and got pretty much bitch, and now next thing you know, he's fighting the tag champions? That's weird. That's fucking really weird. That's a terrible idea. I think he did a great job. However, it wouldn't even make close to sense with fucking, you know, doing well, like it didn't work. it just didn't work. Like, why would you do that? Like, fuck, man. Like, you could do non-tournament with another deathmatch guy. Like, they could have found a way for that shit to work on a non-deathmatch. It doesn't make any fucking sense. So anyway, obviously the fucking winners are Philly's Most Wanted, the fucking tag team champions. I guess Sabian sucked his dick in somebody's face, and now like they got a whole fucking, you need to apologize next month. Eh, whatever. It wasn't my dick or my face or fuck it. You know what I mean? Whatever. I ain't getting G's no one. Fuck that shit. No homo. So, fucking, Joker ends up pinning fucking Devin. So, well, he challenged fucking Devin. Next fucking month is going to be Devin Moore and Joker for the title. So, that sounds like a great fucking night for me. Okay. From there, you go to the finals. And, what the fuck does MMMMMPB at J mean? What the fuck is that? I have no idea what that means. Jesus Christ. One. Anyway, finals was Masada versus Masashi Takeda in barbed wire ropes, light tubes, and panes of glass match. Again, you know, stipulations are pretty basic throughout the entire tournament, with leaving out a fucking light tube log cabin that was in the back. And, that's weird. So, they wrestled a crazy-ass match, man. Crazy fucking match. And, it was everything it was fucking meant to be. And Masada fucking won the tournament. And, yeah, man. That's, you know, it was definitely well deserved for fucking Masada to win that tournament. So he won the tournament, and now what is set up now? Because he challenged after the tournament to challenge Danny Havoc for his Ultraviolent Underground title next month. The winner of that. Breaking fucking unbelievable shit, let me tell you guys. Fucking the winner of that in September at the Chris Cash Memorial Show. They will be facing, whether it be Masada or Danny Havoc, will be facing the fucking legend, the fucking BJW champion. Ryuji Ito. Title versus title. All on the fucking line. Death match in the fucking CZW arena in South Philly. So you motherfuckers, you got some shit ahead of you. And I gotta tell you straight up, CZW has now pulled off four fucking shows in a row that I think are fucking great shows. I can't say anything fucking negative. Honestly, they won't. Nah, I say a few negative things. But I'm saying overall, those four shows are worth paying for. Tournament of Death, Prelude to Violence, Proving Grounds, and Best of the Best. All worth paying for. Show your fucking love to this company. Put the fucking money where it fucking belongs. And fucking definitely hang the fuck out. You know what I mean? We're not buying fucking waffles, Juan. Eat a dick, son. We don't put waffles in the motherfucking... What the fuck's... So, yeah, the fucking Deathmatch Dragon.
What is Juan talking about?
He's retarded. I don't know. He's going to be in my house. I have to deal with this guy in less than a fucking week. So, like, very less than a week, like a few days. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? I'm going to hit him with a tranquilizer dart. Lay him on the fucking trampoline and let him take a nap. I don't know. Who knows?
He might like that. He might like it because all the girls would be on the trampoline. You know what I mean?
Nah. On the ground, I guess. So yeah, man. That's more or less what I got. That is Tournament of Death. That is what it was. It was a great fucking tournament. Everything fucking came off really good for me, and so that's what it is, man. Well. I mean, we got, I don't know, 20 minutes or some shit like that left, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to shout out Ring of Honor? Or you want to fucking leave that shit for next week? What do you want to do?
Yeah, we'll leave everything for next week. I'm just,
I want to go into it. I think we should go into it more. You know, if we both have seen it.
Once I see it, because I am going to see it this week. Let me put it that way. And this has been quite a great show. And I gotta get into my plugs. I guess we'll close out the show. But beforehand, I definitely got to get into my plugs because, oh, man, we got so much big shit going on. All you guys who are listening, please, by all means, keep fucking listening because you won't believe the shit that I have planned. And the things that are ahead of us right now, you guys are going to be really fucking happy as listeners. Because you don't have to pay shit. It's fucking straight. Everything is good. Let me quick give a shout-out to a fan before any of the other stuff, and that is Brent Maddie. Brent Maddie sends me fucking messages and gives me comments and stuff like that about the show that really makes me feel like, you know, this fucking shit is worth doing. This guy tells me it's the highlight of his week and everything like that, and Brent, we fucking love you over here, Yakuza Kick Radio, and we hope to have you...
Where's he at tonight?
He's working. He's been working, and he said our last several shows were awesome, and hopefully this will be the last week that he's working during a live feed because he really misses the chat room. So, Brent, hopefully we'll be back in our chat room next week, but he's listening fucking actively. He listens to every show we do, and he fucking loves it, and big fucking shout-out to you, Brent, because... I can't say nothing else, man. You're why we do this. So, thank you very much. Huge fucking shout out. Fucking biggest shout out I can possibly do to my fucking man, fucking Anthony Missionary Thomas,
AKA
over
Ron
at the Wrestling Soup. This fucking guy, like, when he fucking does. He does the Wrestling Soup. They do that shit tonight. Like, they do it, like, 9:45 or some shit like that. Like, you guys go over and download that show and see how fucking awesome he does. He is working on an intro for me. And honestly, the intro would be done already if I wasn't such a picky douchebag. But I think you guys will really, really love the final outcome. I talked to Mish for, like, an hour last night. And, it's phenomenal. We actually have, like, a short little outro that we're going to play when I'm done shouting everybody out.
I don't know why I fucking all night I've been trying to fucking get that shit working. We might have to wait till next week because for some reason it's only playing 2 seconds of it and it's cutting. So we're going to have to wait till next week for that.
Even have the outro. I don't even know what's going on. But anyway, he does phenomenal work. If anybody out there does radio stuff, anybody out there does that type of podcast or whatever the fuck, wants intros, promos, fucking commercials, whatever the fuck goes on, you check out Anthony Missionary Thomas on Facebook because this guy, he's the fucking truth. He knows how to fucking handle that shit. He'll fucking do it for you and, you know, it might cost you a couple bucks, but it's fully worth it. This fucking guy does shit right, you know.
He's professional.
And definitely check him out. Yeah, we'll try to play it on the outro because what's it gonna hurt? But probably not gonna work. However, that guy's a shit. So check him out. Check out Wrestling Soup. Him and Joey Numbers do a fucking phenomenal show. And that's that. Another guy I want to shout out did a show last night. That's John Gray. He's the real side of wrestling. He did a show with Danny Havoc last night. Great job. Fucking check him out. The Real Side of Wrestling might be .com or some shit like that. He does a great job. Check him out. He does a good show. Another guy I got a shout out, does a great show, and is hooking us up with a very, very big prospect in the future that I'm not going to leak to you guys yet, but believe me, you guys are going to be pretty blown away when you hear it. But that is Jerry Wiseman. And Then the Bell Rings is the name of the podcast that he does. He's a phenomenal guy. He has connections out of his fucking asshole. And believe me, this fucking guy is hooking us up with some shit. And check his fucking show out. He's done shows with he was the one that did the Big Ian Rotten show.
He's done shows
with so many people, and I'm telling you, this guy's the truth, man. He's a good guy. Check him out, support him, and that's pretty much what I got. So, yeah.
By the way, also, so check out ESS Promotions. They'll be helping hooking us up in a couple.
ESS Promotions.
Yeah, ESSPromotions.com.
Yeah, so everybody already knows what that means. Everybody already knows what that means. So if it happens, phenomenal. That's what it is. It's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do a lot of big things, and that's one of them. So, Eric, you got anything else before we close out?
No, I'm good.
Well,
everybody have a good July 4th. And who knows, everybody, you may be seeing me sometime in Jersey.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Try to play the intro or the outro when I'm done with this. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And for Eric Williams, I am J-Cat Morris. You motherfuckers all check me out next fucking week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Blog Talk fucking radio, Yakuza Kick radio. We're taking over. Fucking holla. Okay. Guess we're done. Good night, folks.